Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
In 2017, the world endured one of the greatest injustices of all time when filming of the third installment of the Sex and the City movies was abruptly and inexplicably shut down. Months later, here we sit, reeling from a lack of closure and struggling with questions that we'll never be able to answer. Living in a world where we're so callously robbed of the final chapter we all deserved is something I simply cannot stand for. Therefore, I, Lara Marie Shainhalls, am taking matters into my own hands, and I'm saving Sex and the City 3. And welcome back to another episode of Saving Sex and the City 3. I'm your host, Lara Marie Shainhalls, and I'm here, boots on the ground, fighting for justice every day for the movie that was ripped from our clutches. And with me is a very special guest. Mm-hmm. You may know him from Schitt's Creek, Dan Levy.
I'm so happy to be here.
I'm so thrilled. I can't even begin to describe the levels of happiness I have that we're doing this.
Let's talk about how I asked to do this. This wasn't like an outreach program. This was me being like, hey, it's been long enough and I need to do it.
And you came to me, which makes my job even easier.
I flung myself at this opportunity, whether it was whether you wanted it or not.
And I wanted it.
Well, we have a history of a mutual admiration for Sex and the City.
We've been down a dark road.
So I'll just share a piece of thrilling trivia about my love for Sex and the City. Found out that Sex and the City had a board game.
Yeah.
It's not legit. I don't think that the Sex and the City people made the board game.
You don't? They would have had to license the...
I mean, I'm looking at it right now because I haven't... I've brought it out. I've dusted it off from a drawer and I brought it out to celebrate our conversation.
It's kind of cheaper the looking than I remember.
The logo's there.
Yeah.
The logo's there. But it sort of looks like if someone on Etsy went to a big boardroom meeting with an idea for a game. Mm-hmm. It's in its developmental stages at best.
Yeah. The box is
made of rice paper.
Yeah. It's very flimsy.
And it's just...
There is a game board, isn't there?
No.
Oh.
You acquire more cards.
Okay.
So you get... Hold on, I'm rummaging through it.
Yeah, Sex and the City trivia game, you answer questions that are very specific.
Okay, yeah, it's a trivia-based game, and when you win, or whoever wins the trivia round, they acquire, lifestyle cards. For example.
Cosmo?
For example, this lifestyle card says, and again, I've forgotten the context, so now I'm just going to read something and hope it makes sense. This is the big time. Oh, describe your best or the longest or the sorriest or the lamest, the most disappointing, the most surprising lunch with the girls.
Wait.
It's personal.
Oh,
I forgot
so
about
your
that.
Your personal, your favorite lunch
so if
with
you
the
win,
girls.
Like when you win the trivia, I think you have to also reveal a piece of yourself at the game.
Wait, so they're asking you to
personal,
your personal lunch with the girls.
Stories.
Your sorriest lunch with the girls? I don't
Can
have...
you imagine gathering your girls together and playing this game and having to answer what the sorriest lunch you've ever had with them is?
I don't
have a lot of lunches with the girls. So, like, I don't, weirdly, wouldn't have a lot to draw from.
Oh, I want one more.
Can you imagine putting, you thought, the girls thought you had a great lunch, but then you revealed that it was actually the sorriest lunch, in your opinion?
I'm looking at one card that just says, the little black book. And it's a black and white photo of a blackberry. So this is, we're going back in time to when that was something. Anyway, we played this game. I was so excited. I put a full playlist together. Like, I spent the afternoon putting together like Sex and the City inspired music. And I think it was a collection of like people that I just thought would be into the game. So it was a scattered group of friends that didn't really know each other, but by the end I think we bonded.
Yeah, by then we bonded. It was a lot of Sex and the City heads, and the competition was fierce.
It was the saddest revelation, though, was that I lost so badly.
You lost really badly.
It was carnage.
You did not do very well.
My short-term memory or long-term, I guess, at this point is deserving of medical attention.
Yeah, I feel like that was maybe your like still Alice moment where
I realized,
like,
something was fundamentally wrong with either the fact that I don't listen to things or people, or there's something degenerative happening.
But I kind of appreciate that you just like watch and love Sex and the City, but then
I let it wash over me. I know no
details.
Couldn't give a name, couldn't give a place.
No. And I feel like I tied with our friend Ed for second place. Mm-hmm. And then this woman who I think was a friend that someone just brought to the game, she won. And I was furious. I was just like,
I'll just say this.
How dare you?
I've never played the game since. That was a one-off experience that left me so humiliated and scarred that I've never played it since.
I haven't played it since either, but I'm ready for a round two.
I'm going to give you one just before we start.
Okay, yeah, give me one.
Because I have prepared for this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we should butter ourselves up a little bit just in terms
you
of...
give me one, I'll give you one. We'll see if you
I'm not
going to
answer it correctly. And this is a thing that I need to tell people listening.
These are actually hard questions.
This show has formed who I am as a person. You know, obviously you look back on the show now and you're like, there's problematic issues with it, just socially, politically. But in terms of a narrative, in terms of a television show, in terms of the things that happened and the romance and the love, it inspired me to write television.
Yeah.
So thank you, Sex and the City, because I'm here in some strange connect the dots way because of you.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. Without Sex and the City, you would not
I would
where
still
you
be at the video
today.
Store.
Yeah.
So
wow.
I can't say I don't know. I mean, I guess I'd be happy. I guess I'd have a lot of DVDs still.
I guess I'd be happy.
I don't know. Ignorance is bliss, I guess. But
okay, ask
here
me
we
a
are.
Question.
Okay. Oh, okay. Carrie says she would throw away a guy for wearing what kind of shoes?
Flip-flops.
Incorrect.
Fuck.
Docksiders or topsiders?
Okay.
Do you remember that episode?
I think I do. See, rude. It's not that
we're not,
it's
we're not
hard.
Winning this game and I hate playing it.
Okay, I'm gonna ask you this question, which is truly like the deepest of deep cuts of question that I can't believe made it onto one of these cards. Who put black cherries in tea to sweeten it?
Can't they? This is why the game doesn't work.
Yeah.
You have to say, like, in insert episode title, who put black cherries in tea to sweeten it?
Yeah. You have to give some sort of context.
Petrovsky.
Yeah. How'd you know that?
I remember that.
You remember it. I truly did not.
Wow, I pulled that answer out.
That was really good. I was going to give you the easy one.
Because I remember him at one point giving Carrie a cherry. Don't you remember her eating a cherry?
You know what? I need to revisit the Petrovsky episodes.
It is a
because
lush.
Those are maybe the ones that I haven't seen the most. Like, I've only seen those like four
that's
times
when the
each,
clothes are the
not
best.
Like six times. Yeah, that's when the clothes
that's
really
when
the,
that's
it.
When that wardrobe budget got real big.
But I like season two. Carrie is always my favorite. I think her clothes were the best. In,
is
like,
that the
two.
Like aviator era? Mm-hmm. That's the best kind.
Long,
that's like iconic
curly,
Carrie.
Yeah.
But
then
Carrie as an
to, like,
adult.
Wealthy Carrie who is a... Who was a brunette with like semi-blonde highlights, and I was not feeling
with
that
a lot period. Of flyaways.
With
I
a
just,
lot of flyaways,
watching that show,
and she wore a lot of velvet and like
a lot
lace
of velvet
and tulle.
Dusters,
yeah,
over like tulle.
She had like a kind of 20s look
she
going
did.
On, and I was just like, I miss the old Carrie Bradshaw.
Like
I want
the
raccoon
young,
fur coat, mm-hmm. aviators,
yeah.
eating a hot dog,
yeah.
in the baseball game, Carrie. Let's do one more question.
One more, and
then
we'll
get
start.
Into it. I just want to answer one thing right. Mm. Okay. Who was Carrie trying to impress at the Women in Arts luncheon? You know this.
Yeah. It was Big's wife named... Gosh. See, this is it.
This is it. This is where it falls apart for you.
And she had a...
It starts with
a... It's the stick figure with the...
Yeah.
Played by Bridget Moynihan.
Mm-hmm. Natasha.
Natasha, why yeah. did I? Because,
you got it, though.
Because
I'll
there's
give
something.
It to you.
Because there's. Because I should go to the doctor.
Still Alice, yeah.
These are. Okay. I have one, and if you think this is easy, I can get harder.
Okay.
Why were Berger and Carrie on the courthouse steps?
To recreate that scene from the movie that they both liked? Or no, to have like a big romantic kiss. Carrie had jury duty.
Jury duty.
Okay. But it was all three of those things.
It
I
was.
Just want to be clear.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, that was, they didn't have like a three-pronged answer on the car.
I just started sweating like profusely because I was like, oh my God, am I just getting this wrong? Okay. Well.
I have one more and then we'll just
okay,
go.
Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just because I hope, I feel like at this point, and I think what we'll do over the course of this for people listening is we'll occasionally pull out a trivia card just to keep you, I'm speaking now to people
on your
listening.
Toes, yeah.
On your toes. Who called Charlotte to help her escape a bad date?
Miranda?
Incorrect.
Carrie?
Yeah.
Okay. Fuck. It would always have to be Carrie in those
See, again,
situations.
We're feeling, like, uncertain about our feelings now.
I know. Now I'm just like, do I know myself? Why? This game fucks with you. It's insidious.
It takes your passion and it puts it out a window a little bit. And it's like, you thought you cared and you thought you sort of knew what you were doing, but you don't.
It tricks you.
It does.
Yeah. Well, I'm here to fight back.
Mm-hmm.
I want to hear your pitch. I'm just so excited.
Okay. So I have a leather journal
yes.
that I've written this all down in.
It's all very official.
Let's start with just the foundation of what Sex and the City 3 is.
Okay.
What Love. It means, what we're working with,
mm-hmm.
because there's a lot of variables at play.
Okay.
The first being, obviously, that Kim is not game
mm-hmm.
to play.
Okay.
So we're working in a I took this very seriously.
You're putting your producer hat on. And
I'm not
saying,
coming in here and being like, in this scenario, Kim's back in.
Oh my
She's
God.
Not.
I love. Okay.
Bridges are burned.
This is
and
professional.
We can't go back.
Yeah.
So
you're acting from a place as though this
gonna
movie
happen.
Has fallen apart and someone came to you and said, Dan,
yeah.
if you want to make this movie, you
yeah.
will have to be like the MPK
mm-hmm.
and you will have to figure out a way to make it work mm-hmm. given the real world parameters.
Even you saying that to me is making me feel emotional.
I saw
because
you kind
in
of
my,
get misty-eyed.
In my head, that would be it.
Yeah.
I faint.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't happen, but here we are.
But
and I think this is just as sort of transformative and revolutionary in our own way.
Indeed.
So with Kim out of the picture,
mm-hmm.
I don't think that we could do the same kind of film as they would have wanted
yeah.
in the intended Sex and the City film. As a result, I think
we have to go in a different direction. It has to be a slightly different tone, which I'm sure people at home are like, but that's not what I want. Mm-hmm. Wait for it. Let me at least sell this idea. And I just feel like we have to at least acknowledge that in a Samantha-less world,
yeah,
we're going to do something different. And it's going to capitalize on all the things that I think the fans love about the show, minus the four friendships.
Yeah.
Close.
Mm-hmm.
Close. The city.
Thinking of someone that's like, God, some people watch Sex and the City for the friendships and the clothes. I watched it for the city.
I have a really contrary belief here. I watched it for the city.
The city was my favorite character. Truly.
She was referenced often.
She was.
So, here's what I have written down. Things I care about. : Looks. Shopping.
Mm-hmm.
Drama. Now.
Same. Same.
While that could easily be applied to my life.
All facets.
This is really put together for the sake of this film.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of loose ends that I thought could be tied up. I like the idea of tying up sort of referential loose ends throughout the series in like the first and second film.
Yeah.
I was not a fan of the second film. I know that that goes against a lot of what has been discussed on this podcast previously.
Yeah.
The second film
is not for everyone.
The second film is not for everyone. And I think it takes a giant leap of faith to
really
like
got away.
Hurl yourself into a stratosphere where that film honors the Sex and the City sort of world.
Yeah.
Because I think what that film did is what I'm about to pitch, but I think that this...
You're trying to make it right.
I'm trying to make... I guess I'm going to say like...
The second film...
It was a cartoon.
Yeah. And it was truly like...
And it was supposed to
be... It was a moment where like... It's not even jumping a shark, but it's like a show or like an idea drinking its own Kool-Aid. And that Kool-Aid was laced with acid. And then we got into Sex and the City.
Here's what I think it is.
But I still really appreciate it.
I love that for you. here's what I think it was trying to do. In my mind, I was like, where would this come from? And I felt like it was a heightened, highly referential sort of romp movie.
Yeah.
Where they thought, let's dispel the sort of formula or the expectations of Sex and the City, and let's give the audience like a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, I think there were a lot of problematic elements in terms of
you don't say.
Just inappropriate depictions of people and places and things. But what I thought was, in my mind, when I was watching the second film, I was like, this is going back to the episode of the series where they went, when Carrie and Carrie and Samantha went on the train, and it was a Some Like It Hot reference,
mm-hmm.
where the whole episode sort of had a Some Like It Hot vibe.
Yeah.
And I felt like there was sort of like this like old Hollywood, like, let's take a trip kind of vibe to the second movie that just didn't really work.
No.
So this is honoring that Some Like It Hot whimsy that the show, I think, really loved to sort of dabble in from time to time.
Okay.
So in my world, Samantha has gotten back with Richard.
Okay.
Richard at this point is deeply embroiled in business, shady business dealings.
Mm-hmm.
It's been real. He's like on the run. A lot of his hotel ventures were not paying their taxes. And Samantha, in like a Thelma and Louise kind of late in life decision, is like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm in love with Richard and we're going to just go on the run.
Perfect.
We're talking like nobody knows where Samantha is.
Okay.
We're in constant contact. We're getting emails and notes and letters.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like getting overwhelmed.
So they're like, I imagine Richard is like similar, like he's been in business with like Trump before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like people are coming after him for a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And it would look like jail time. It would look like, you know, it's like a Murdoch-y kind of vibe with obviously less extreme consequence.
Like he hasn't fucked over like a lot of rich people, but it's like he's fucking over like, anyone that like works at his, in his like huge
causes that would
crumble
that like, that's too dark. Mm-hmm. This is living in like Sex and the City world where like people are after him.
Yeah.
And it's Bonnie and Clyde, Samantha and Richard. Maybe they're in
the
Caymans.
I'm picturing them grabbing their hands in like a Porsche or something.
Getting on a jet and saying, take me somewhere.
Yeah.
Which to me is like, we could do like a stand-in for Samantha and show like a little bit of, you know, over the titles, how they're usually like, this is what's happened since you last saw the film.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That kind of vibe, and like cheat a Samantha to make it look like Samantha getting on a plane and like they haven't seen her in a while.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the, that's where we're starting this off on. And it's a journey where Samantha is sort of knowing that she will inevitably get caught and has decided to leave money for the girls all over the world.
Oh, wow.
So this is like a where in the world is Carmen Sandiego scenario where Samantha, knowing her inevitable demise, gives the girls money on a round the world scavenger hunt type trip.
To find her eventually?
No.
Then?
Or maybe.
Just for fun?
We don't know.
We don't know.
We don't know yet in this point of the conversation.
Okay.
But like leaving little random notes and hints for the girls so that they can get her money, because her money isn't tied with his money, but it inevitably will in this situation.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
And I think she's probably taking some of Richard's money because she knows that there's like a lot of it there.
Yeah.
And like transferring it to like an international bank account and then just like putting
leaving
it places.
Leaving it places.
Yeah. I love that.
There's like an ethical problem that we're going to need to iron out, just because I want the money that they get to be Samantha's earned money.
Okay.
I don't want it to be money that's like someone else's.
Like in her savings account?
Yeah.
Okay, she, maybe Samantha gets married to Richard and then she realizes that she has to like empty out her personal
if she's
money
going down,
or like distribute it. Because
which I think
it would eventually be like they are going off to the Cayman Islands to like just drink pina coladas and like get hitched.
Yeah. And I think it also speaks to Samantha as a character, because I think she wouldn't ever want to part with the money that she earned herself.
Mm-hmm.
She's never been a person to like take men's money.
Yeah.
So knowing that she likely will never be able to come back to America, wouldn't it be great if she gifted her friends all the money she made as like a high power publicist, knowing that like she'll never be able to spend it?
Yeah.
So
okay,
what
I love
this,
that.
What this sort of lays the groundwork for is an around the world caper of sorts where Charlotte and Miranda and Carrie get on planes and like piece together the like treasure map of Samantha's money.
Love.
What you get out of that is exotic locales. You get
lots of looks.
Tons of looks.
So many looks.
I thought some of the most successful looks of the first film were the airport and airplane looks.
Yeah.
So you get like really important.
When Carrie showed up to Mexico wearing a fur. That was I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
I was like, gosh, she is so fragile. You know,
and
when
then,
you're just like so sad, you're just freezing cold all the time.
Freezing.
Even in Mexico.
100%.
I was like, been there.
And then obviously like emerges as in that like McQueen parrot dress, which was iconic.
Which was perfect.
So you get like airport looks, you get airplane looks, and then you get looks that I feel like would honor the different cities that they've visited.
Yes.
And not
international
in, like,
luxury travel. Because I love them in like a first class like airplane scenario.
My favorite part of Crazy Rich Asians was seeing the suite.
Yeah.
On the airplane.
Mm-hmm.
And them like really being excited about it.
Yeah.
Aspirational luxury travel, which I think is now more prevalent than ever thanks to Instagram.
Okay, I just had a thought.
Yeah.
So I feel like where Samantha like leaves the money is in cities like she feels like the girls need to visit. Like for to that speaks to a certain part of their personality that she wants them to explore. So,
so
like,
we're healing.
She, yeah, we're healing.
Yes.
We're like self-reflecting. Yeah. I feel like she leaves some in China so that Charlotte can go there and honor Lily.
Yes.
Like it's that kind of thing where it's a nod and a wink.
Yes.
Like,
and you know what? Them. Thank you for taking it there because it needed that sort of extra emotional dimension to really, I think, like legitimize why we're doing this and the stories that we're telling.
Mm-hmm.
I did feel like there were different people in each city that posed like emotional, moral, physical threats to their current state of being.
Mm-hmm.
I love the idea of like going, like seeing the girls in Tokyo.
Yeah.
And like the looks that they did in these, I think we can't do the second, we can't like exploit. It has to honor.
Yeah.
So in my mind, it's like we're dealing, we're not like, she's not in a kimono.
Mm-hmm.
It's like wearing calm and yoji.
Yeah.
And like undercover.
Yeah.
And cool.
They're not doing like the cultural appropriation thing.
We're honoring.
Yeah.
Okay. You know what I mean? Like we're going
honor,
to Sweden.
First and foremost.
We're wearing acne.
Yeah.
We're going to Scotland. We'll do like a Pringle knit.
Mm-hmm.
So we're getting like fashion that's also like directional.
Yeah.
And then at the end, I was just unclear as to whether they see her or whether by the time they've gotten their last chunk of money, there's like a note attached to it.
Yeah.
And they realize that like this journey, much to what you're saying, was her last sort of
love letter.
And Samantha was always the one that like got them out of the house. All of her like bar and restaurant and club openings that like forced Charlotte out on a Wednesday night.
Yeah.
This was sort of like, I'm opening your eyes to like the fact that the world's still buzzing around you. And like, Carrie, get out of that weird apartment that you have with Big.
Yeah.
That I always thought was like, it was like sort of like her apartment in the show,
but it wasn't.
But it felt
it was
like,
too dark. It was so dark.
It was dark.
Why was it so dark?
I don't know.
There were no windows
and like color.
And they also didn't go. They didn't move into like the really chic, nice apartment in the building. They moved below it into like the dark, small apartment, which didn't make a lot of sense to me because they squashed all their drama. So you think you could celebrate with the
and
big
clearly
apartment?
He had the means.
Yeah.
So
he redid the whole closet.
What are they doing?
Yeah, I'm confused by that. But okay, so I feel like this movie opens with like shots of the city that you love so much.
Mm-hmm.
And we see kind of establishing scenes of where all the girls are at. And we realize that like they haven't hung out in a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
Like we see Charlotte and Harry like doing school drop off or something.
Yeah.
And maybe Charlotte is like, maybe she's like just having to deal with lots of like PTA moms and like she's really embroiled herself in like the community of like school mom.
The
bullshit.
Mundanity of having everything you want.
Yeah.
And like the realization that like maybe that's not all you want.
Yeah, like her life just exists on like a wake up, get the kids ready, like pack the lunches, take them, go to Pilates, come home, like run errands, pick the kids up, make dinner, and it's like all of that just over and over and over.
Yeah.
And like she's having kind of a crisis moment where it's like, I used to be like run a gallery, like I used to
and
have
Lily
all this shit going on.
Lily's
like 13 or 14.
Lily's talking back.
Yeah.
Like
Lily's sassy
and is not appreciating her mother right now.
Mm-mm.
And you know,
and she throws the adoption fact like back in her face a lot.
That would be a very real conversation. That would get, that would be like, you know, if we're talking about like substantiating the adoption with mm-hmm. like Charlotte going back to China, having a greater understanding. I mean, that whole, the adoption thing, I thought was really, I found it very lovely in the show. Like,
yeah. I thought it was so nice.
It was so.
I cried when they said, that's our baby.
Yeah.
And they held the picture.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think surly teen Lily is like.
Maybe she's going through a bit of a, maybe she's, as many of my adopted friends have done in their teenage years, like mm-hmm. really gotten curious about
her roots,
where they come from.
Mm-hmm. And so like we see, I think we see Charlotte's journey. We see like Miranda, who, what's Miranda's deal?
I would imagine that it's sort of, Brady's what, like 16?
Yeah. He's like a teen
dating
as well.
Maybe someone, mm-hmm. The house is maybe leaking.
There's lots of like home
see, like
stuff.
Home stuff.
Yeah. Home improvement.
Yeah. Or maybe, you know, I like.
Maybe they're trying to like. Maybe Brady. Okay. Here I have a pitch.
It needs to be something Brady, big enough.
Brady is like a genius and he has like. He is just like the smartest kid in school. Uh-huh. He's like one of those kids that basically like has his high school diploma at like 15.
Like a Ronan Farrow kind
yeah,
of.
And he's like about to go off to college.
Okay.
And so Miranda's really proud of him, but also it's like, okay, well now it's just going to be me and Steve alone again. Like we've mm-hmm. had this kid, like we've had this whole life with our kid. He's grown up, grew mm-hmm. up way too fast, but like we can't stop him. He needs to go to Yale and like mm-hmm. be a child genius. And now I'm just like looking at Steve and I, like where's the spark? Our house is just like always falling apart.
There's maybe there's like a shot something. A referential sort of shot of like Miranda looking over at like Steve nude in bed because mm-hmm. the show loved a good Steve butt
yeah.
shot.
And you they know? Loved like a disgust, like, ooh, Steve is like kind of farty and sweaty.
I was always attracted to Steve.
Steve's hot. Like looking back, you're like, okay, that's like a hot dude. He's just like so there for her.
There for her all the time. Got his shit together. Yeah. Did the bar. Had a tight bod.
Scout does really well.
Yeah.
It's like has
she's looking
four and
over
a half
at his
stars
butt.
On Yelp. It's like, it's great.
Yeah.
Miranda's really
fine.
Busy. Yeah.
Miranda's fine. Mm-hmm. She looks over at the butt's like a good butt, but it's she's tired and bored.
Yeah.
And needs an awakening.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, like in my mind I'm thinking like there has to be something more substantial for her to learn on this trip because mm-hmm. ultimately this is like where in the world is Carmen Sandiego meets Eat Pray Love.
Yeah.
Meets Under the Tuscan Sun or something.
Yeah.
Like aspirational travel film.
Maybe Miranda meets like there's a new person at work and it's a woman, like a woman has come in from another law firm.
Interesting.
Who's like really just like hot shot, yeah. whip smart, and Miranda is discovering feelings that she's never really felt before. That's just like she finds herself like crushing on this woman mm-hmm. and like wondering what if. And it's around the time that like Brady's off to like going off. Like it's like this moment in her life mm-hmm. where she's like, what am I to make of this?
What if the woman invited her on some kind of law conference
mm-hmm.
at the time just to, we've covered.
Okay. Yeah. I like this. Okay. So we see Miranda. So Miranda.
And she says no at the time because it doesn't feel right. Mm-hmm. But then. The whole scavenger hunt thing happens and the girls rally and she's like, well, maybe I build it in. Maybe
yeah.
I like bake it into this trip as we've all managed to do in our lives where you're mm-hmm. like, this doesn't feel right. But if something else happens
yeah,
where I can make that bad decision feel like the right one.
I can just do it. We're all here anyways.
And like maybe it's the right decision. Maybe yeah. it's not, you know, who knows? You know, maybe we find a way to like respectfully end her marriage to Steve and have her open her eyes to her attraction to women.
Yeah.
That would track to me
that
if we
tracks.
Were to lay it out. It's
yeah.
just about how you do that in a respectful way that honors their marriage mm-hmm. as well.
So that's where Miranda and Steve are at.
I like the woman being Scottish.
I love the woman being Scottish.
She has like a thick Scottish accent. She's
yeah.
a brute force to be reckoned with. and has like this magnetism that Miranda has not experienced in a very long time.
Yeah.
I like the idea
of
like
name?
A Scottish countryside situation with like a raw ruggedness of like the Scottish landscapes with like high passion.
Totally. So I feel like too, like we see Miranda in the boardroom, like she's in a big meeting, mm-hmm. and this woman who's like new to the firm is speaking, and then like someone, like a man in the boardroom, tries to like interrupt her or like say take her down, and then Miranda's like, I'm sorry, mm-hmm. like Elizabeth was just speaking, and I think that it's important to let her finish her question.
The good thing about Elizabeth is that when she goes back to Scotland, they call her Lizzie, mm-hmm. so we get to see like a different side.
Yeah,
and I think ultimately what this is leading to is that Miranda has led a very specific life for a very long time, mm-hmm. and like all of us, what we present in a professional capacity might be very different than who we are when we're like at our little Scottish farmhouse, like shearing sheep.
Yeah, so. When Miranda sticks up for Elizabeth, mm-hmm. then they meet after the meeting. They're like in the break room getting a tea, and Elizabeth is like
commiserating over,
"Thank
like,
you so much for saying like having my back in mm-hmm. there. Like I've found so many times, and I work at these firms that it's like every man for themselves. But like you're a real team player, and I appreciate it." And she just puts her hand on Miranda's hand like lightly, mm-hmm. but there are like sparks. Like you see Miranda be like ooh.
Yeah.
And so then we see finally Carrie, what she's up to.
Now, this is a tougher situation because, okay, so we have China.
We have China for Charlotte.
Where in China? Is it a Hong Kong?
I think it's Hong Kong.
Okay.
I think
cosmopolitan.
Yeah.
Aspirational, recognizable locations.
Mm-hmm.
So for the sake of like the like glossy brush with which we are painting this film, as they should be painted with,
mm-hmm.
we'll go with like a Hong Kong.
We need a Hong Kong, but then like a one sweeping drone shot of the girls on the Great Wall, just because.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Scotland, and then Carrie.
So
where would Carrie find herself? That's a very interesting question for me because we've seen her in Atlantic City.
Yeah.
We've seen her in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen her at a cabin in the woods.
Yes.
Have we seen her anywhere else?
We've seen her in Mexico.
We've seen her in Paris.
We've seen her in Paris. We've seen her in Abu Dhabi.
Don't want to see that again.
No. I feel like Carrie would find herself like South America just like popped into my head because we haven't seen anything.
We haven't gone there.
But like Brazil or Patagonia. Maybe Samantha trolls Carrie and sends her on like it's like her version is like a hike.
In my mind, I'm going to that chef's table episode.
With Frances Smallman. Also, the chef that did Gwyneth's rehearsal dinner.
Oh, yeah. That's fucked.
Casually flew up from Argentina.
All that barbecue.
All the barbecue. The vegans were going crazy on Goop's Instagram. They were like, well, I would have liked this wedding if I didn't have
if
to see
it wasn't
all those
just
carcasses
a
everywhere.
Celebration of death.
No, I love.
Which I could imagine being very triggering for a vegan audience.
Mm-hmm.
I could see her on like, can you imagine like a beautiful canoe? She has to.
She's
imagine
wearing
like a tranquil water, like a dark black Patagonian water.
Mm-hmm.
Carrie in a canoe. She's being led to like a bonfire to have like an incredibly erotic, like very sensual meal.
Yeah.
With a man that Samantha always thought she should meet.
Yeah. Maybe it is like a version of that chef who like lives.
It absolutely should.
Yeah.
Like a salt of the earth. Although, was he nice? I can't remember.
He was sensual. He has He has two wives.
That's what it is. Lives like a very sort of fluid existence,
mm-hmm.
In the woods.
And okay, so I think it's like someone who's found success doing what he loves and living his life the way he wants to live it.
Yeah.
And that's very like Carrie Bradshaw-esque. mm-hmm. because she also has found success doing what she loves and is just like living her life regardless.
I do feel like you're dealing with the inevitable question mark of, we explored a temptation with Aiden in the first movie.
Mm-hmm.
How is this different? Have they later in life opened up their relationship?
I imagine her having gone, like, she's just been like killing it at work. Like, mm-hmm. She's writing book after book after book. They're selling like hotcakes. Like,
getting option for like TV series.
Yeah, we
and
have
movies.
Like a nod to like, mm-hmm. there's even like a movie version. Mm-hmm. Then we see like two like Hollywood actresses like acting out the girls like at brunch or whatever. And we see Carrie on all these book tours and doing press stuff. Mm-hmm. And then
a TED talk
for sure.
Yeah.
That's like her learning annex. Talk, yeah. But like a TED talk. And then, but when she gets home at the end of all of that, it's kind of like a little bit we find that she likes the excitement mm-hmm. of being super busy and mm-hmm. doing this, and like mm-hmm. Big likes to be on the couch mm-hmm. and like watch old Hollywood movies. He's retired, I think, by this point.
Absolutely retired.
And, you know.
And all he wants is the day-to-day simple pleasures of like mm-hmm. spending his money.
Yeah. And he like cooks and like gets into wine and like cigars and stuff, but like
I could see that easily turning into a best friendship.
Yeah,
I could easily see this point in their lives where the sexual attraction has sort of dissolved a bit, but they love each other as friends.
Yes. Okay. So,
and
we
maybe
see?
That's a conversation that they have, like over like a pasta primavera.
Yeah,
he's like whipped something up and they have this very real conversation, and it coincides with Carrie having this journey to go on.
I think what we see is like in Carrie's like establishing stuff, like she's having a whirlwind life, and uh-huh. then she comes home and Big is there, and we get the voiceover that's like, and Big is retired mm-hmm. and like he loves, like mm-hmm. he's found a new passion, and that's pasta. And so mm-hmm. he's like cooking and having like a very homey thing, and we see them having their dinner and it's warm, and mm-hmm. they're obviously like have a lot of love for each other mm-hmm. and then Carrie tries to like initiate some sex and Big's like, he's kind of just like, not tonight, or like brushes it off, not brushes it off, but it just is like not really into it, or like he falls asleep or something happens where it's like, oh, like he's kind of just like his libido is down and like he's just not the same. And
would
Carrie's
it feel
like,
would it feel like a narrative cheat? Or could this be what sort of springs her forward if they're having this conversation? He's not really into like having sex with her, but there's love there and it's warm. Mm-hmm. And she's saying, well, this trip's come up and I think I'm going to go on it. Like I think Samantha would want us all to get together to do this.
Yeah.
And he sort of says to her, like, I think you should really like find yourself on this trip in a way that like implies that he's allowing her to explore other people,
mm-hmm.
like opening a door, acknowledging that he's getting to a point in his life where like he doesn't want to have sex with her all the time and might not be able to provide in that capacity in the same way that she still might need.
Yeah.
Because I do like the idea of like Carrie at a certain age still having like intense sexual desires, honoring the show,
mm-hmm.
and that's a real thing.
I think though too, like my question is, does the Carrie paranoia element, when he says something like that, it usually like triggers some sort of like,
but I think we have to like really lay the foundation that they are on very solid ground.
Yeah. And so when he says that, it's like, is there a moment where she says like, do you think this goes both ways? And then he's like, no, like, you know me, I'm happy with
like
pasta.
Run free
and do your thing.
Yeah, okay, we've lived our lives. Yeah. Like, run free.
He's like, I ain't going anywhere.
Yeah, I'm here. We're good. You have 9 million shoes in the closet. Like, you're not moving out.
Yeah.
Take advantage of this, like, wonderful opportunity and, like, really...
Have a free pass.
Lean in.
Yeah.
Carrie, lean the fuck in.
Okay, wait. So let's back up a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I want to get to the part. So we have established like what all three of their
where we're hitting
life status is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then I think we need to see like, and then it's like, and Samantha, and then we get mm-hmm. like a overview of yeah. like Richard, like she and Richard got back together. He's in trouble with
headlines.
The law. Yeah. Headlines, their faces splashed all over
across the news.
Yeah.
New York Post, mm-hmm. some like funny tagline about like Bonnie and Clyde.
Yeah. And then they've like left the country and no one knows where they are. And like not even the girls have heard.
And I think
her.
There could be sort of like a Charming Carrie thing about even though she's, you know, even though we can't see her anymore, like mm-hmm. in Charlotte's or in Samantha's, you know, own ways, she like makes sure that we can never forget about her.
Yeah.
And you come home to like Carrie opening mail and it's like a postcard from someone with like a cute message and then like XX
mm-hmm.
question
sends,
mark
yeah, we
or
see,
something.
Yeah. Like,
like
we
she
see,
can't, you can't trace it.
You can't
but
trace
it. We know
it.
That she's dropping hints.
Yeah. Like, each of the girls like opens up a package yeah. and like one girl gets like a gold dildo and then the yeah. other one, it's like yeah. little winks and nods.
Yeah.
So then I think like, so the girls all get their like Samantha mm-hmm. packages. They're all kind of living their separate lives on mm-hmm. their separate trajectories, but they do manage to come together once a month for girls yeah. brunch.
Yeah.
And so I think that they're at brunch and they're kind of comparing whatever gifts
ooh.
They got, and they always sit at a table for four even though Samantha's
yep. empty
not there.
Seat
yeah,
honor
there's
her.
Always the empty seat, and so they're like, did you get anything like this month mm-hmm. and Charlotte's like, yeah, I got this like dildo, like mm-hmm. it's gold, I think it's like $10,000 or something. And then there's like Carrie can make like a joke about the dildo mm-hmm. and like Carrie got like lingerie, like really nice lingerie mm-hmm. and then what did Miranda get?
Like a first edition
mm-hmm.
something really valuable, like a first edition book.
Yeah,
things that you could sell or not sell, but like there's money behind
really
it.
Really luxury items.
I'm going to run with this and take it to the next step.
Okay.
If you would.
Please do.
Allow me. The waiter comes over with the bill.
Mm-hmm.
They open it up and it's three plane tickets.
Yes.
With something written on the back of the receipt.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like something like encouraging them to like just go with it.
Yeah.
And they
because
all,
they've established that like they don't know where Samantha is. They
and
meet
that she's
once
communicating
a month.
To them in weird ways.
Yeah, and so
they know that she's on the run. They know that her like there's the potential for like jail if she comes back into the country.
Mm-hmm.
And that maybe there's something in the headlines about like I don't know. Or in her letters, she's sort of saying like I want you to have this
yeah
treat yourself, it's all about like treating yourself because I can't
yeah like highlight yeah the I love the plane tickets
mm-hmm.
are they plane tickets to
Carrie's like I got this one
mm-hmm.
and opens it up and there's like somehow three plane tickets and like
with their names on them
and
they're kind of like
a message
around.
Written on the back of the receipt
yeah
with something very Samantha that sends them on this journey
yeah
something like very mysterious.
Maybe one of their maybe Carrie's birthday is coming up
mm.
and they've been talking about it and Samantha's like birthday trip on me
mm.
please enjoy and trust
yeah
the journey
yeah
love
just got goosebumps
yeah okay
I'm there.
So Carrie's birthday is coming up, they open the thing, it's three plane tickets and they're like oh my god, like what, these are clearly from Samantha, but like how mm. did she get these
in? And they've also
the
been
thing?
Wondering like why she's been gifting them such expensive things.
Yeah, they're not like mad at it mm-hmm. but they're also like I don't know, they're and Miranda kind of has she's like is it against the law? Or they ask, and she's like, well, no, technically it's not.
What if each of the things that they've gotten, like this past month, like Carrie got a purse,
mm-hmm.
and Miranda got her book,
mm-hmm.
and Charlotte got...
maybe she got a piece of art.
Great. And it's something, the note says, like, go on this journey,
also like, and make sure you look closely or mm-hmm. some kind of, I'm like not doing it justice because I don't have my computer in front of me and like, trust me, I could write this in a night. But they go home like wondering like, what a strange thing for Samantha to like impose on us.
Yeah.
Look closely. And like, so Carrie goes and she opens the duster and it's like a brand new, or like in this case, like a vintage Philo Celine bag that mm-hmm. she's always wanted. And mm-hmm. like, because no one wants the new one. And she sort of looks inside and there's, in the same way that there was like a tear in her purse in Paris with Petrovsky and she yeah. found her Carrie necklace, there's like something, maybe an earring or something mm-hmm. caught. One of Samantha's like gold earrings caught in the corner of the bag.
Yeah.
And she sort of pulls it up and up from the base of the bag lifts like a compartment and there's money in it.
Wow. Okay. Love.
Miranda goes home, takes the plastic wrapping off her first edition book and starts flipping through the pages and like money's falling out of the pages.
Mm-hmm.
And Charlotte goes home and like goes to put the painting on the wall and like something sounds like... something sort of bumps on the back of the painting. Yeah, and she's like, this is back. Peels it back and there's money there.
Okay. And then they all hop on a split screen phone call.
Yeah.
And they're like, did you just get?
Yeah.
And then Miranda's the same like $10,000
of cash. Amount of money.
Yeah. They all got 10 grand.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Charlotte's freaking out because yeah. she's like, this is criminal. Like a felon. This is
I don't
want to
be involved
like,
in her criminal activity.
And I'm not going on the plane. I'm not going. And then Carrie's like, I don't know. I think it's like kind of cool and fun. Like it's an adventure.
And we don't know where this came from.
Yeah. And then Miranda, the sensible attorney, is like, well, technically, like we don't know. And no one can prove that we know where this came from.
And she can be the voice of like somehow acknowledging that what they're about to do isn't going to be illegal.
Yeah. And
that,
she's
like if
it's
this
okay.
is her money,
yeah.
It's a roundabout way of doing it, but it is a perfectly legal way of her sort of like liquidating her assets.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe this is what she wants us to do.
Yeah. Miranda comes up with that just all on yeah. her own. She just knows.
So this is now feeling fully legit.
This is fully legit. Because like the plane tickets were for a week out and it was like, uh-huh. are we really going to go? Like, mm-hmm. where were they to? Hong Kong first?
I guess we go to Hong Kong first.
The plane, just
you'd
a
go in
one
order,
way.
You'd go in order of, like, significance. So Charlotte would be, get her over first.
Yeah. And, like, they're like, I'm not getting on a plane, like, to do that. And then they mm-hmm. get this 10 grand. And then Carrie's like, don't we owe it to our friend to go? Like, what mm-hmm. else do we really have going mm-hmm. on? And Miranda's like, well, I do have, like, all this time off and business deal, like yeah. I can go. And then Charlotte's like, well, I can't. And they're like, come on. And she's like, but PTA. And then they're just like, Charlotte, get your shit together.
In the same way that they do that every episode, they yeah. just somehow bully her into coming.
Yeah. Charlotte's always getting like yeah. peer pressured. And then Carrie's like just down because it's an adventure mm-hmm. and it's like one more thing mm-hmm. for her to write about. So they decide on the split screen phone call yep. that they are going to go
mm-hmm.
and just like trust.
And at that point, that's when I think Carrie would have that conversation with Big and he'd say, do what you need to do. And Charlotte would have a conversation with
Harry
and he would say, you know what? I think you need to do this. And like we hear Lily in the background or like, you know, something happened where she's like upset about the fact that she's not trusting like her daughter's not coming to her with like trust and mm-hmm. she's just going through a phase that where she's trying to find her identity, which is totally understandable.
Yeah.
Again, we'd have to like, I wouldn't want to cut corners on all of that kind of stuff because I think what could come out of this is like very enriching, mm-hmm. lovely, emotional things for these people and their families.
Yeah.
In a way that I think would feel like incredibly conclusive for these people. I think it's like, let's close the door completely mm-hmm. on all of these people's experiences, because I think one thing that we have never really gotten out of Sex and the City, give or take a couple very like iconic episodes where you got like tears.
Yeah.
Like at Miranda's mother's funeral when Samantha cries. One of the greatest performances, Kim Cattrall knocked it out of the park.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a moment that was like so earned. They built it so much and like the performance was perfect.
Yeah.
And I live for that. Like I don't want it every episode.
Yeah.
But like.
But you need it.
Ugh.
Yeah. So Lily is like Well, yeah, what's she going through? Like,
I think if we're going through like an adoption thing, maybe she has like decided that she's wants to. I think it's at a certain age you can
see
what is going on.
Yeah,
and I wonder if maybe Miranda is having, or if Charlotte is having difficulty letting her or getting behind Lily's like desire to explore.
Yeah, maybe Lily keeps pressuring her and Charlotte's like, well, when you're 18.
That would be very Charlotte too, because it's like sort of on the boundaries of like.
She wants to be her mom forever. She doesn't want anyone else to like come in or have any of their knowledge.
She's worked really hard, and also like I think Charlotte can get a bit like selfish when it comes to things she's like really worked hard for.
Yeah.
So I think this is like a great setup for Charlotte to really chill the fuck out a bit on this and realize that like she can still be a mom and that the time she's put in with her daughter is still justifiable, but like potentially this trip will allow her to realize that like there is a side to her daughter that she'll never be able to understand. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
And maybe she tells Lily that she's going to go to Hong Kong and then Lily gets like really mad. She's like, you won't let me do that. And yet you know that that's where I'm from and you won't let me have any intel. Mm-hmm. Like, fuck you.
Yeah.
And like slams the door.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Rose is like a little angel baby. Like, she's like the sweetest, most docile little thing. And like, Charlotte's upset, but it's like she's glad to be like getting away.
Mm-hmm.
And like Lily,
Hong Kong is just one of the stops on this journey. They don't know where else they're going.
And so I think also Lily and Harry have like, she's like a daddy's girl and they're super close and tight and they like never fight or anything. And so I think Charlotte's probably a little bit miffed at that because it's like,
not knowing how to connect.
Wanted this baby so badly. Yeah. And then she got her. And then she's grown up to be very, like, they have a
detached,
tough relationship.
Yeah. You can buy all the Judith Lieber cupcake purses in the world for your daughter. And she will never care about that,
you as much as, you as much as she cares about her dad.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, like, you have Rose, who's, like, a sweetie. But, like, Rose would like anyone.
And that takes us.
Yeah. And Harry said, he's like, you've been a mom. Like, you do so much for this whole family. Like, you have earned this trip. Like, by all means, go and have fun.
It's a phase that she's going through, and like, we're going to deal with it.
Yeah.
And maybe if you got out of the house for a minute, you would get some clarity and perspective and like be better at handling this.
Yeah.
And we can all sort of like, I'll take it from here.
Yeah. And then Miranda goes into the office to like to inform everyone that she's going to be taking some time off.
Mm-hmm.
And she asks Elizabeth if she can cover some of her work while she's out. And Elizabeth is like, of course, but like only if you agree to like have dinner with me sometime.
Mm-hmm.
And Miranda's
I'm listening.
Kind of just like,
or she suggests that they have dinner to catch her up on all the work that she needs to do before she leaves.
Yeah. Why don't we have dinner tonight? You can catch me up on everything. And so they find themselves at dinner, but they're actually like on a date. Like they're 100%. Drinking wine, the candle, they're laughing. They're at a beautiful New York restaurant. Yeah. They're laughing. They're talking about their families and like just like joking. And we see that it's like near the end of the dinner, like the waiter comes over and he's like, would either of you ladies care for some dessert? And they're like, yeah, I think we will do some dessert. And they like say the same. They want the same. He's like, we have this, we have that. We have like a cacao like drizzle kit. And they're like, we want the cacao at the same time.
Same time.
And then they like look at each other and
sparks,
they're like.
Sparks, romance. It's a golden light
and
in
we
that restaurant.
See, like Miranda's like, I feel so bad. Like I haven't even talked to you about any of the like work stuff that I need you to take care of. And Elizabeth's like, I think we both know that like we're not really here to talk about work stuff.
And there's maybe like a leg touch.
Yeah.
Like under the table.
And I think maybe even like after dinner, there's like a kiss moment that happens like on the street.
Okay.
Like they're saying goodbye.
What if it's like a close to the mouth kiss on the cheek?
Yeah.
Or like a confused moment where they don't know what's going on, but
not
it was like the mouths
out,
are
like a mouth
too close for
people not having come out of that situation.
They hug and then they linger face to face for like 2 seconds.
Uh-huh.
And it's like where they're breathing
on
each
other,
like hot,
lips like barely touching.
Yeah.
High.
And Miranda kind of like
female eroticism.
Kind of like brushes Elizabeth's hair behind mm-hmm. her ear.
And says like, I should go.
Yeah, I should really get going. Mm-hmm. And she's like, yes. Mm-hmm. So then we're like, oh my God, I'm like fully invested.
Oh yeah. In this.
Okay. So then we, and then Carrie and Big have their conversation. He's like,
and I wonder too, because in my mind, I'm like, I need to sort of tie loose ends with the Steve thing because I don't, what if there was, what if part of their agreement, and this is like really catty and lame, but I'm like stretching for the mm-hmm. sake of our narrative. What if one of the things that they agreed upon when they got back together is that since Steve had a dalliance, that she is allowed a dalliance.
Yeah.
And it looks like,
and she never took it because she was just
never
like,
took it because
I'm
she's better
so busy and she's like, also just too busy for
and
that.
And like didn't want to play like
who has the time,
didn't want to be like tit for tat about it. But it looks like this might.
That's perfect.
Because then it's like.
Then it's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I love. So then I think the next thing is they all meet at the airport mm-hmm. at JFK and they like get out of like an Escalade mm-hmm. all wearing like incredible travel outfits.
Yeah. There's someone that meets them at the car, mm-hmm. whisks them through private security.
Yeah.
Takes them to.
The lounge where they wait and like kind of wonder about like what's gonna happen. We don't even know how long we're going for. Mm-hmm. Like, this is crazy, right? And then
maybe
I think
someone in the lounge comes by with like 3 glasses of champagne.
Yeah. And a note.
And napkins under the glasses.
Because this is one of those things where it's almost like too crazy. It's like, why no one would just go take a plane ticket from like a felon, their friend that they haven't seen, to like uh-huh. go. So like we uh-huh. have to like be constantly reinforcing that it's not crazy and that it's not like criminal. It's just like
and
a
also
fun
like
adventure.
Curiosity is piqued.
Yeah.
Like, why would you ever turn away from this?
Yeah.
So in my mind, it's like 3 glasses of champagne and napkins mm-hmm. that are laid down. And they go to sip the champagne and like Charlotte chokes and coughs out a diamond. Uh-huh. And they realize that there's a diamond in each of their champagne glasses. And then like they look down and like there's writing on the back of the napkin.
Yeah.
And it's something like an address mm-hmm. or some kind of roundabout clue to like something in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
And they realize that like they are on the first leg of what will be a huge scavenger hunt for cash.
Yes.
And like Sex in the City stuff, like diamonds and
the diamond in their drink. Also, just a side note, I love like that Samantha has been able to get like airport workers,
100%.
Waiters at restaurants to like
Richard has
bidding.
Richard has people everywhere. Yeah.
So they get a diamond, and maybe on the back side of the paper is like, did you like this, ladies? There's mm-hmm. more where that came from. Like, yeah. Keep an eye out for the diamonds mm-hmm. all around you. Mm-hmm. So that's like a clue. Mm-hmm. So they get on the plane. We get like luxury plane, like mm-hmm. Air China, first class, whatever.
Sweet.
They land and they're looking around, like, and we see as they
diamond
walk
limousine
through,
service.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And they're like, this must be it. And mm-hmm. then they're greeted by like the limo driver who then gets all their baggage mm-hmm. and takes them off to, is there an Amman in China?
There's no Amman. Oh, there is in China, but it's, I don't think there's one in Hong Kong. It would have to be like the upper house or like any place that like Gwyneth Paltrow has stayed at basically.
Yeah. I'll leave like, to, yeah.
Reveals like big suites for all of them mm-hmm. and reservations for dinner. At like a club, mm-hmm. like a private dining club or something.
Yeah. And they all have like outfits hanging in each of
closets.
Their room. And Carrie's like, I can't believe we're traveling. Like, I've always wanted to travel like uh-huh. this. And like, now it's all mm-hmm. happening. I wish Samantha was here, but mm-hmm. she kind of is here in spirit. Because
and it's like one of those things where she's like, it's in moments like these where you want, you just wish she was here, and then it's like revealed to like open the closet until you realize that she has been around us the entire time.
Exactly. And I think at this point, Miranda might say like, they go, maybe they go out to dinner, and then Miranda reveals that she's hired someone to look into the Samantha thing because mm-hmm. she wants to make sure that like they're not doing anything illegal. Mm-hmm. And we also, for narrative purposes, just need to know like more explicitly what's happening. Mm-hmm. So maybe Miranda hired a private eye who's like investigated and has realized that Samantha is draining her personal bank account, and that's where all this money mm-hmm. is coming from. And somehow that and is like totally illegal. That's where we can explain that,
like, it's her money.
Yeah.
It has, so she's trying to like
liquidate assets
so that they don't take her hard-earned money, because it yeah. was like her choice to go rogue with Richard, but like doesn't want it to affect.
Mm-hmm. And the money is like her, like all her accounts are seized except for like her business, which like somehow can't be touched mm-hmm. by whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't know, like the laws, but.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I have an end to this.
Yeah. Her business funds can't be touched, and that's where all the money was. So it's all from like Samantha Jones' PR mm-hmm. is footing the entire bill for this thing. Mm-hmm. That then leads into a question of like, how much was Samantha worth? And it's like
an extraordinary amount,
crazy amounts of money.
She was buying that Chanel ring at the auction, which could not have been cheap.
Yeah.
And was just
like 50K easily,
like a lot of diamonds.
Yeah. So she's like has millions and millions of dollars to clear out. And this is the way, like Miranda basically says, like, and this is the way, I guess, she's draining mm-hmm. her bank account. Mm-hmm. She doesn't have family. Mm-hmm. She doesn't have kids. She only has us.
So they're now in a limousine or like a fancy car, and they get sort of taken to an underground parking garage mm-hmm. where someone comes and takes their phones or something.
And Charlotte's scared.
Scared. And they think it's like they're getting deep into like criminal territory
mm-hmm.
and go upstairs and get out at the lobby, and it's the Diamond Club.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a private dining Hong Kong, what I can only imagine being like a very expensive looking like members club, mahogany walls, chandeliers.
I'm imagining like an Indiana Jones in the Temple of Doom, that first nightclub that they're in where Kate Capshaw's like dancing around and singing Anything Goes. Like something
pure extravagance.
Like extravagance, but and also like a slight camp factor.
Yeah. There's yeah. like a lushness and a reference and like a camp to what they're to all of this.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think it's just like,
and Carrie's in like a Valentino red gown.
Yeah.
Like a, just that classic red color yeah. of Valentino.
We need
like
red.
Couture. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
With like a hat, with like the hat that he did, that like couture hat that.
Yeah.
With the, it's like the Tilda Swinton Met look from this year with like yes. the butterflies all around it or whatever mm-hmm. it was.
Yeah.
They go in, and then I feel like it's almost like in my mind, it's almost like an escape room.
Mm-hmm.
So they're given a puzzle that's like something to do with.
It's like a note, like they sit at one of those big round tables and it has like the Lazy Susan on uh-huh. it where like meals are put.
Yes.
And then there's always a note that's like, well, I see you ladies made it this far, but do you know what's right around the corner? Mm-hmm. And then that's like prompts them to keep going.
Exploring.
And then they're like, I think we're on a scavenger hunt. Like,
I'm laughing, but like I would 100% watch this movie.
No, I need this movie to happen.
This
like
is
now.
The greatest, most overindulgent,
yeah.
insane, and yet like so, I could see them making it.
Yeah. Okay. So then they like have this beautiful dinner, and there's just like a lot of like food porn mm-hmm. involved, like, and just like glamour. And everywhere they look, they see that all the customers of this like extravagant restaurant mm-hmm. are like dripping in diamonds.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like an explosion of wealth.
Do they get the diamonds? The other thing that I'm thinking of as we're talking, though, is I feel like this should be a celebration of Samantha's independence as mm-hmm. like a businesswoman.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if each of these trips reveals something about how hard she's worked to get what she's done.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like that Samantha Jones Inc. also like funded upstarts. And you reveal that like Samantha had something to do with like Uber.
Yeah.
Or, like, because I like the idea that it's like a celebration of this woman's like
maybe,
business savvy.
Maybe. go with me here.
You're like beaming, so I'm on edge.
Samantha was like an investor in Chinese Uber.
Okay.
And this is like a gala that's happening at this to
in
like
her
honor in her honor,
and she couldn't attend.
She couldn't attend, but
so
she
they're
got
the guests
three.
Of honor.
Yeah, so they're the guests of honor, and then one of the CEOs of Chinese Uber comes over to their table, and it's like an incredibly well dressed, like polished, beautiful woman, mm-hmm. and she like welcomes them and like make sure that they're all taken care of and mm-hmm. hopes that they have a lovely evening. And like, she's so sad that Miss Jones couldn't be here, but mm-hmm. She sent you guys in her place. That's like so lovely of her. So then they kind of realize like she was sent here. Then maybe we find out over the course of this dinner or something mm-hmm. that the CEO of Chinese Uber is Lily's actual birth mom. And that she had given up her daughter, like she couldn't have a child out of wedlock
and
in
that
China
Samantha had something to do with yeah. getting Charlotte her baby.
Yeah.
Wow. This is like, I feel like I'm stoned, but I'm not.
Yeah.
This is like deep revelations.
Mm-hmm. A deep cut.
And like what a thoughtful... In Samantha's world, like a thoughtful thing to do.
A thoughtful thing to do. And then this woman, like, because like Samantha, I think, would have told her. And so she meets Charlotte. And I feel like Charlotte might initially be like really freaked out and mm-hmm. sad. But then there's a moment where this woman can be like, you know, Samantha always told me that like I never wanted children. Mm-hmm. I just didn't. It was not in the cards for me. And to see you, like, I know that my daughter ended up in the right place.
Wow.
And like, maybe I'll meet her someday, but I never want to take your place. Like, mm-hmm. she is your daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And then that like soothes Charlotte. She's like not freaked out about it anymore. Yeah. And she actually is glad that like Lily's birth mother is so successful. And she knows that would be like really good for Lily down the line.
Mm-hmm. And that when the time is right, that they will meet.
Mm-hmm. And they'll have a lot to learn from each other.
And that now that there's this relationship, there's no way that she'll ever choose someone over her because there's no threat.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So this is taken like...
So that's kind of the point of like the Chinese leg of the
and
trip.
Then I think it should end with people gifting Carrie and Miranda and Charlotte, mm-hmm. like all the sort of congratulatory gifts that are intended for
Samantha,
but they're money in boxes.
Yeah. Love.
So like we end this like very luxurious Hong Kong adventure with like drowning in money.
Yes.
Looks.
Get cash.
Family, like
family revelations. I think Carrie also, she's quit smoking, but when she travels internationally, she mm-hmm. always allows herself like one mm-hmm. cigarette. So I feel like we also, throughout all these trips, Carrie is going to meet like a really handsome man and like,
well, what if
with
our
him.
Patagonian lover is catering this event?
Oh, I love that.
Tease early on.
I love. Okay.
Samantha has orchestrated this to the tits. She has nothing but time in the Cayman Islands.
So Carrie like steals out to a beautiful balcony overlooking the glittering lights.
Yeah.
And who's out there but this like kind of rugged chef guy mm-hmm. who's very like disheveled, mm-hmm. like looks out of place, mm-hmm. but he's smoking.
But is also like disheveled in like Hyder Ackerman.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah, no, he's
in
hot.
Like,
he's
a,
not
like
homeless
a silk
looking. Yeah.
suit or something crazy and
yeah.
like wears it well.
Yeah, he's like sexy.
Yeah.
And Carrie asks him for a light and then they're both smoking and they connect and like have like a flirty conversation. Mm-hmm. And he reveals that he's from Argentina, but like he was flown out to do this dinner mm-hmm. and he often takes jobs like that. And it's a yeah. great excuse.
He never normally compromises his morals like this.
Yeah.
But he was paid so much
and this is
that
a
he
great
couldn't
job.
Turn it down.
Yeah. And he's like, and who wouldn't want to travel all around? Isn't that what life's about? And then Carrie,
love that.
Yeah. And she's like, I feel the same way.
Yeah.
So they connect and there's like a mm-hmm. little like wink and some flirt. And then Carrie goes back in. The girls are showered with cash and
showered with gifts
galore.
And I think they all like, so we see like the black cars pull up back to their hotel and they all are like rallied in one of their rooms with all the gifts. And they were like, do we? And we get like an unboxing situation.
Yes. Unboxing. So we get, you know, that speaks to me. You know, it speaks to me.
We get an unboxing montage. Mm-hmm. And so this is like in lieu of what would be like Carrie's closet fashion show when she was choosing like what she wants to wear or not. This is now like unboxing, but it's like Oprah's favorite things on crack.
Yeah. It's like watches.
Watches, diamonds, diamonds, diamonds on watches, cash, other things, pajamas that they're going to wear to bed.
The most beautiful silk pajamas.
We're going to go with like a Grace Coddington collaboration with Vuitton pajama set that's going to come out of there. And they all sort of like realize that they're sitting on like more cash than they ever knew what to do with.
Yeah.
And like, what do we do next? And then I think we can either like, if we want to like alleviate the narrative a little bit, do like a montage of them spending like some cash on like helicopters, beaches, exploring Hong Kong.
Yeah, I think that's Wall where we of get China. Our Great Wall drone shot. Is in all where the they looks. Go. Yeah, in all the looks. Because I think Miranda also says like, well, we can't take like, we can't like put all this cash into our accounts and we can't travel with over $10,000 in cash.
And there could be just a note from Samantha being like, treat yourselves, girls. There's more where this came from.
Yeah. And she's like, shop till you drop, essentially. Mm-hmm. So then they have like a crazy shopping,
the most
tourist montage.
Insane to the point where like critics would be like, this is grotesque.
Yeah. In this economy.
In this economy.
In this
like,
state of the world, this is what you're going to focus
on. This is
on.
What you're doing.
It gets roasted, but like the viewers love it.
It's a movie that everyone watches at home.
It's egregious.
Because if you're seen in the theater, it's like you're supporting Trump.
Yeah.
Like it is a...
It's gauche.
It's beyond.
Yeah.
There's never been a like a greater waste of money and extravagant and like overindulgence.
They get like crazy spa treatments.
Oh,
like,
no, it's...
Everything.
Everything you could possibly imagine. Yeah. And like we'd have to do some like insane research in terms of like that level of luxury because that is existing like far beyond my...
Yeah, I don't even know.
...plane of reference.
I'm like shop and spa and like helicopters.
And I think that's where at the end of all of this, we've like bumped up to like a helicopter takes them to a private plane.
Yeah.
And now they're flying private. Mm-hmm. Like, because that's one
that's
step up.
That's the next step up. Yeah. So then Samantha, like they get the note, I think, after they've unboxed all their stuff. And then it's like, you have 5 days, treat yourself. Mm-hmm. So they know that they have like to fill the next 5 days. Then we can work the montage in. And then it's like the last day and they like wake up in the morning and they don't know like what's supposed to happen. They just know it's their last day. Mm-hmm. And that's when they get like breakfast delivered and it's like a crazy spread like in the second movie where
like caviar scrambled eggs and like,
and there's a note that says like checkout is at 11, like meet downstairs
or not even checkout. Cause checkout's like below them at this point. It's like, drop everything and meet here at this time.
Yeah.
Don't worry about your things.
Don't worry about your things. They'll be shipped to the appropriate location.
We've got it covered.
Yeah. Oh, I love this travel moment. Oof. I love like buying so much shit and then leaving
being like,
it.
I don't know. Do I pack it in my bags? And it's like, no.
No.
That's not what this
you
is
leave
about.
It, and then someone else takes it upon themselves to just FedEx it,
make sure it gets wherever you are,
back to your closet. Like you don't even have to worry about it. That's true luxury.
Yeah. And so, thus begins
the second leg of
our next chapter.
We're gonna take a little trivia break now.
We're taking a trivia break. We're about to get into our second act of our film. And before we leave Hong Kong, we're gonna just ask some serious trivia.
Yeah. Do you want to go first?
Okay, hold on. No, you go.
All these questions are so hard, except for one.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank.
LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'll do the really easy question first, and then I'll follow it up with a hard one.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Did Carrie wind up sleeping with Mr. Big on his last night in New York before he moved to Napa?
No.
True.
She did not.
She did not. I was now confusing that. I was like,
you getting, thought she did?
I get really stressed with this game. And I thought, I was like, did she? And I thought it was the heart episode where she shows
no,
up.
And no, no,
she
no,
didn't
no.
sleep with him in that one. Or no, she did sleep with him in that one. When he gets the open heart surgery.
Can you sleep with someone after open heart surgery?
I think they slept
maybe
together
for the sake of the show. Oh, are you thinking of, no, you're thinking of San Francisco.
Oh, San Francisco.
San Francisco was the next morning because remember she had read the book.
But the heart surgery.
Or he had read the book
yeah.
and was like, I can't. Okay. I have so many questions.
See, I just, I don't know.
Are
I
we
get
okay?
Too flustered.
Are we
no,
okay?
No.
I'm scared.
I quit this podcast. I'm like, it's over.
I have a question for you now.
Okay.
Ooh, this is really specific. And again, needs like an episode title to, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
What was the only sandwich Carrie ate on the train to San Francisco?
A club sandwich?
Correct.
Oh, thank God.
Was that a guess, though? Or where did that come from?
Well, I was thinking about what train fare is offered on trains generally, and like
club sandwiches.
Yeah, that sounds pretty trainy to me. And it also, I was asking myself, my first instinct was a bologna sandwich, but then I was like, Carrie would never, and it had to be a club sandwich.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
While she was pregnant, what name did Miranda first tell Steve she was considering for the baby?
Oh, for fuck's
this
sakes.
Is, I fully don't know and don't even remember this.
I'm going to go out on a limb and sort of give a ballpark name, and then we can discuss whether my ballpark name was okay.
A ballpark.
I'm thinking something like Henry or Alan.
Close-ish. Danny.
Oh, I remember that.
Okay. I don't remember that at all.
Danny's not a great, I don't know, for a baby.
No.
That's a tough one.
I like Brady. But is Brady's name Brady? Brady yeah. Hobbs Brady?
Yeah. That's a bad look.
That's interesting.
And as someone who has been a Danny and remains a Danny to some people,
mm-hmm.
it's tough. I have one more and then we continue.
Okay, cool. This game makes you question
everything
you've ever known.
Because it's a Pandora's box of not just your own Sex and the City trivia, but ultimately, are you okay?
Yeah.
Generally speaking.
Answer's always no.
What did it say on the cookie Robert gave Miranda?
I love you.
Okay. Which, by the way, I took and put into my show. And as a reference to Sex and the City, which some people who may or may not be watching my show might find interesting.
Oh my God, I love that nod.
I got a cookie that said 4 months, and it was my boyfriend on the show was giving me a cookie to commemorate our 4 month anniversary.
Oh.
It's just a little under the radar
nod
to SATC.
To the reason that you're doing what it is you do today.
To the reason why I'm here.
Yeah. Okay, so where we last found our girls, they were checking out of their luxurious
They were
Hong
unboxing
Kong, unboxed
in Hong Kong.
Thousands of dollars of gifts.
And jewelry.
Tens of thousands. And hundreds
and
of
just
thousands of dollars.
Spending it freely.
Yeah.
Willy-nilly.
And, oh wait,
we
instead
got
of checking out even, it just said, leave everything
Everything
here.
Behind.
We take care of it. You go.
You go.
Yeah.
Also, great closure on Charlotte's. She now knows what to do when she gets home.
Yeah, that
Things
was
are good.
Huge.
That and
was
she's
huge
also
moment.
Able to show up to this next leg with the girls and not be like Charlotte-y.
Not
you know what I mean? Like, Charlotte's
about
always about her. When mm-hmm. she gets a bee in her bonnet, it's sort of like, can you just step outside the room for a second? Because
yeah, you need
we
to take
can't
a breather.
Move forward unless you work that out.
That's why I think story-wise, she has to just be tied up first.
Yeah.
So then she can be the enjoyable comic relief Charlotte.
Yeah.
Like for the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love. So the girls
board a private jet.
Now we're getting into private jet territory. Style. So they all pile into. Do they do separate cars again as like a wink to their separate cars in
Absolutely.
Abu Dhabi? Okay. Yeah. Separate cars.
Separate cars. Showing up to
with
a tarmac.
Very sexy drivers.
Absolutely.
With like the hottest drivers, yep. male model drivers.
Yep. Pull up to a beautiful jet. Mm-hmm. And inside I sort of see the jet being like decked out in like Scottish knits.
Okay, wow.
Like we're going thematic. Okay. Because we know where we're going next.
A Scottish knit jet.
Like like Pringle is clearly sponsoring this leg of the movie.
Charlotte's triggered. Because
Charlotte's triggered, and like McQueen, we get like Highland moments in there.
So McQueen.
Charlotte's
just reminded of Trey with that whole aesthetic.
Charlotte somehow made it about her again.
She does get a bee in her bonnet immediately after you think she's soothed and she's having a really
Trey
good
would
morning.
Love this, and that's all we get.
Yeah.
They get in, and now I'm trying to think like...
I think they get into their Pringle Scotland private jet.
People are like, what is he talking about Pringle of Scotland? Why is he obsessed with Pringle of Scotland? I don't know. Tildick did the campaign.
Yeah.
It was pretty legendary.
It's good.
And it's sort of like high drama.
Yeah. There's a high drama. I was going to say, even if we didn't go full Scotland private jet interior, it's definitely like dark jewel tones.
Yes.
And then each girl has a box.
Mm-hmm.
And they all have their own kilt.
Love.
Yeah. And then it's like, guess where we're going next? Like, none of them know. And then they open the boxes and
it's kilt.
Scotland.
And
it's
Scotland kilt. Is, they're ready.
Yeah.
So at this point, I wonder if that gets Miranda thinking of her boss.
Yeah.
Because her boss is Scottish and it sort of feels like the groundwork has been laid for Miranda to like be thinking about this woman.
I think that maybe Miranda texts her on the airplane, or like she's checking, she asks immediately, what's the Wi-Fi in this jet?
Of course.
Yeah, because she has business emails to attend to. So she gets on the Wi-Fi and starts checking emails, and Lizzie has emailed her, and Miranda's following up, replying to her email, and then Miranda says, you'll never guess where I am headed.
Cut to product placement. BlackBerry taking a photo of the kilt.
Mm-hmm.
She writes back, !!
Yeah.
It's on a bit.
Yeah. And then she says, Lizzie says, what a coincidence. I too am going back to Scotland.
This is where the critics might be saying, like,
they're like, come on.
This is a bit too coincidental, but you know what?
But Samantha's
life
the
is short.
And she has eyes.
She knows exactly what's going on.
And she's doing all of this as like a gift to the girls, giving them exactly what they need.
Yep.
So Lizzie says, I'm going to my country house for the week.
Yep.
Yeah. And if you happen to find yourself in this like way obscure,
come say hello.
Yeah, come say
hello. Or like if there's some kind of hello in Scottish that she would use. Pardon my ignorance, listeners.
I was gonna say good morning, but I don't know.
That's something.
It's like Ireland.
I mean, yeah. Sure. Let's go with Irish, and
something
then
like that.
People at home can sort of decide where it's from.
Yeah.
But a general UK vicinity.
So Miranda kind of smiles to herself. They're on the plane. They land.
No, or she smiles to herself as the flight attendant is preparing their beds.
Mm-hmm.
That's a nice way out. Like, again, high luxury. They're going to be sleeping soundly.
They need to rest. It's
Cut
a long
to
journey.
Kilts for days.
Mm-hmm. Tartan prints.
Tartan prints.
All McQueen archives. Mm-hmm. Carrie's doing full Alexander McQueen archives.
Yeah, Carrie's referencing Sarah Jessica Parker at the Met Ball with McQueen from the years before.
She's honoring SJP and McQueen's relationship in her own way.
It's a wink and a nod in a very meta way.
Yeah.
Everyone's looking great.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering now, like, Miranda would probably have, like, a very interesting intellectual spin on a kilt. Like, it would probably be longer, like, almost like a calf length.
A calf length or like just, like wide leg
curious
pants.
Length. Oh, yeah. Or, like, a wool pant.
Mm-hmm.
A pleated wool pant.
She's doing, like, suiting, mm-hmm. slouchy suiting.
Mm-hmm.
Charlotte's doing more of, like, a
Charlotte's
preppy.
In, like, a white, winter white.
Mm, I like a winter white for Charlotte. Charlotte... Samantha knows, uh-huh. I think, that Charlotte does not want to wear a lot of plaid because it triggers her from the tray days.
She's gotten it out of her apartment. She doesn't want it back in her
like,
life.
Like, when they're opening gifts, I think Charlotte can have an aside that's like, ooh, ever since Bunny, mm-hmm. I don't wear plaid. Mm-hmm. And then she opens it and it's all winter whites.
Winter
for
whites.
And she smiles.
Galore.
She's like, Samantha knows.
Now, this is the part that has to be about Miranda.
Mm-hmm.
So now where do we find ourselves? We've landed in Scotland and...
Where are they staying? I don't know anything about Scotland.
Neither do I. I feel like we've gotten ourselves into a bit of a tricky situation because I don't know much. Not that I knew a lot about Hong Kong.
I don't know a lot about the geography.
But
I don't know about like the luxury factors. But I think this could be huge for Scottish tourism.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We do like a drive in a lovely sort of... the Queen's Land Rover through the countryside.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking references to James Bond. Remember when he did that, like, what was it? The one that Adele did.
Skyfall,
okay. Which was like the Scottish estate.
Okay, I haven't
I'm thinking
seen,
like,
but I love. I'm
that like, kind of like high drama.
Yeah. Dame
cliffs,
Judi Dench.
Judi
cliffs,
Dench is there.
Sheep.
Judy's playing sort of a sheep herder at Lizzie's estate.
Yeah. Maybe her mother. Okay.
That's a great one.
Okay. So they are staying in a castle in Scotland, I think. They're staying in like full royal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like they're switching it up to just like
lush
castle.
Interiors, tapestries, stone.
Mm-hmm. And they have the whole castle to themselves and butlers.
Mm-hmm.
And just like whimsical maids and cleaning people.
I'm picturing we have a scene like Beauty and the Beast.
Just like Beauty and the Beast.
There's a musical number.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking in my head and I'm thinking out loud. I feel like this woman, Lizzie, has to have more of an integral sort of part of this.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if potentially, what if we knew Lizzie was going on this trip before?
Okay.
And Miranda was just going on her own trip and they thought we'll connect when we get back.
Yeah.
Suddenly they're landing in Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like curious that they would be landing in Scotland and Lizzie's in Scotland. So this is about connecting the dots from Samantha's sort of like God POV.
Yeah.
Like chessboarding all these people together.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if...
Maybe in the meeting where Miranda is briefing Lizzie on like the things that need to be done while she's away, Lizzie mentions that like I will handle things, but I'm also going out of town.
Right.
To like I'm taking my vacation finally because like they're lawyers, they never take vacations, and she's like I'm going to my country house, and they have like a little bit of conversation about that, and then later when it's like suddenly they're going to Scotland, it's like
things feel curious.
Yeah.
Now, how do we get her in there? I would say...
okay, well...
I want is a romp in a very luscious Elizabethan-style bed.
Yes.
Between these two women.
Here's what I'm thinking. So, Scotland, they're at this castle.
Yeah.
And it's very luxe and very, like, old school... But it's also very no technology. So there's no TVs, no Wi-Fi, no like cell reception or very limited cell reception. Mm-hmm. And like
this could also be a great place for them to have real talks.
Yeah. And I think that it's like Miranda's really irritated because there's none of her like creature comforts.
And I think she's sort of been having maybe a little bit of an email exchange with Elizabeth.
Yeah.
And now it's like, you know, that panic when you're like in the early stages of texting someone and then something stands in your way and you can't.
Yeah.
The momentum gets halted and that's problematic.
So Miranda has already told, like revealed, like randomly, Scotland.
Right.
But I think also now she's freaked out because maybe she can't get in touch with her. So it just seems like a weird, like Miranda's kind of like, am I being crazy to this person? Is this person going to think I'm crazy because I just said like, texted her a kilt pic and said like, I'm here in your country.
Yeah.
So Miranda's like kind of freaking out, trying to get cell service. Carrie is there a charmed.
Is Carrie's very charmed.
She's like, I love
it's a writer's haven.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's like a by the fire at night chat where Miranda reveals, where the girls reveal things about themselves. And
I think
sort
they
of
play charades maybe.
Ooh.
So they're like with the help.
Okay. Who's good looking?
Yeah.
They're all hot.
They're all hot. Even like older.
We're painting like a very beautiful picture of Scotland.
Yeah.
I think at some point something needs to come out where Carrie reveals that Big has had the conversation with her.
And
that theoretically speaking, like she's supposed to be seizing this opportunity and she sort of felt weird about it, but she's telling them maybe after a couple scotches. And Miranda, funnily enough, finally reveals that like I too have been finding myself feeling things for someone that is so not someone I thought I would feel things for.
Yeah. And yeah, maybe they even play like truth or dare or something and they're having like scotch and some wine.
Bringing back truth or dare in a Sex and the City film would be very fundamental, I think, to like the revival of truth or dare, which I would love to play at a party.
Yeah, I think that the girls play truth or dare. And of course, they have like a crazy like Cornish game hen dinner in like a grand dining room.
Beautiful.
They retire to the sitting room by the fireplace.
Huge fireplace.
And then they're playing truth or dare. They're a little tipsy and it all comes out. And Carrie does like, she's like, Miranda's a lesbian. And like, then maybe Carrie even grabs Miranda's phone and texts Elizabeth.
Like finds reception?
Yeah. I think she's like, Miranda's like, well, my phone, or Carrie's like, can I see a picture? Can we see a pic of this person? And then Miranda like shows them and maybe a text from Elizabeth or an email comes through random.
There's a spot. They found a room in the place where this is all feeling great now.
Yeah. And then they're like, it's a sign.
Yeah, they
you
got
have
it.
To te- like, you have to text her.
Like, what if she drops a pin? And they realize they're beside each other.
Yeah.
She's
in the next...
In the next,
she's
like...
She's in the town.
Town next door.
Yeah, to the castle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're feeling boozy, and I wonder if, like... We don't have a lot of time here.
No.
So I think it's, like... For them, it's, like, does she text her, like, come by for a nightcap? Or is it a next day thing?
I feel like the next day...
Okay, so we get another wardrobe change.
Yeah, we need another wardrobe change, and we need more gifts and more boxes. We need them
They wake up the next morning to another gift at their doorstep, and it's another outfit. And
it's just more, like, kind of Scottish, like, Fair Isle
sweaters. Yeah, and, like, I think at this point we could ease into, like, a Dries Van Noten jacket and, like, jewel tones. We're playing with like wools and like heavier fabrics. Carrie's like
Shearling.
We've never really seen Carrie do a Dries Van Noten look.
No.
And I think that could be very her right now.
That's her right now.
Right
in
now.
In Scotland.
Old Celine and Dries Van Noten is like a Carrie Bradshaw is what Carrie is right now.
So I think that Miranda invites Lizzie over for like a walk in the countryside and like tea.
Yeah.
Because that's what you do over there. And
does Lizzie show up on a horse?
Lizzie can show up on a horse with like beagles or something.
Lizzie's come from a hunt. So Lizzie's been hunting. She shows up.
She is a hunter.
She is a huntress.
Sure. Yeah, she's a huntress. Or maybe Lizzie invites Miranda over to do the like rifle shooting. Like
a skeet shooting or like pheasant shoot.
Yeah.
So now we're looking at like
so now we're doing
the crown
like riding,
style
yeah.
riding looks, which I can always get into.
Yeah.
they go on a very intimate two-person hunt.
Yeah.
Lizzie, like, they're is showing sides horseback. Of herself that is, like, satiating all of Miranda's needs. It's, like, empowerment. She's emboldened.
She feels alive for the first time.
There is a crispness in the air that is, like, both chilling and highly erotic.
Okay, I think also something we could weave into the movie is mm-hmm. that, like, up to this point, Miranda has kind of been, like, disregarding her appearance a little bit. Like, she's been kind of dressing like mom, just clothes.
Just, like, I gotta go to work, put on clothes.
I'm not really thinking about that. It's fine. I've been married for 13, 14 years. Mm-hmm. It's just, like, not the
So part of this yet. Experience is, like, providing her with like, clothes again.
And, like, and urging she's her, and, like, she's discovering, like, to moments celebrate that she again. Wants to be glamorous. So you see her, like, step out. Oh, I just got chills thinking of Miranda, like, gets really gussied up.
Like a phoenix.
Yeah.
Like a Scottish
and
phoenix.
And she looks stunning.
She looks great.
Yeah.
In, like, a beautiful green coat or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they go for a ride or, like, a hunt. Lizzie kills a pheasant.
For sure. They go to retrieve it.
Mm-hmm.
They drive out to where it was shot.
Yeah.
And it's in a remote sort of part. The wind is whirling around them. Hair is sort of being tousled.
It's, like, wispy and kind of wet.
She goes, like, Miranda, I think at first is like, you're not going to touch the bird, are you? That's sort of gross. And she was like, toughen up.
Yeah.
Grabs the bird, throws it in the Jeep, turns to her. And says something like, you're beautiful, but means it. And not in, like, a cheesy way, like in a
it's
like,
charged.
It's on.
Yeah.
And Miranda sort of, like, acknowledges it, but gets back into the truck. And they drive to her family estate.
Yeah. They drive to Lizzie's estate where Dame Judi Dench is playing her mother.
Mm-hmm.
And
has prepared, like, a tea.
It's another tea.
Judi Dench is in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And she's baked.
We see also, I think, we get to see Lizzie's relationship with her mother and how, like, important that is to her. And I think we take
building
it back,
and family is great.
Yeah. Take it back to, like, Miranda's relationship with her mother.
Yeah.
And we get a little bit of, like, talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
And
vulnerability, open up. We're talking truths.
Mm-hmm.
She maybe wants to see her childhood bedroom.
Yeah.
Which is always a great sort of backdrop for a connection.
Mm-hmm. And so she goes into Lizzie's, like, childhood bedroom, but
opens
it's also,
like, a creaky wooden door.
Yeah.
And finds, like, the most charming,
it's very
perfectly,
like, Call Me by Your Name, except in Scotland.
In Scotland with, like, wool
with
blankets,
lesbians, yeah,
and like wrought iron beds and heavy wood floors and thick curtains and fireplaces, which to me is the ultimate.
The ultimate. So cozy.
High coz factor.
So cozy.
It's now highly charged.
Yeah. And I think Lizzie starts talking about, like, growing up and being a lesbian and when she discovered that she was gay and, like, this girlfriend that she had and that, and, like, and Miranda's just finding, like, a lot of, like, comfort in the present, in her presence.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they make out, like, on
I think
the
they
bed.
Have a really intense make out. Yeah. And I think there has to be something where maybe she says something about Steve, and the way that this is positioned, if we do it properly, while yes, she is cheating, if we do see this as, like, a necessary exploration of, like, her own sexuality, I can sort of get behind the fact that this is needed in order for her to, like, see a side of herself that she hasn't seen yet.
Yeah, and I think that it's also, like, Miranda's discovering that kind of, like, high school or, like, lust or, like, being kind of a teen again, because then, like, they're making out and it's getting heavy, and then Dame Judi Dench calls up and says, like, dinner's ready. Mm-hmm. And, like, so they then have to, like, go back down and sit at the table with the mom and kind of act, like, chill about things and answer, like, mom questions.
I wonder if the mom is, like, also really cool and just expects Miranda to be the latest woman mm-hmm. that Lizzie's brought home.
Mm-hmm.
But they have this sort of awkward thing where it's like, oh, no.
We work
together.
And then wink, she's like, wink. I'm sure you do. Uh-huh. Like, there's a lot of
shade. She knows better. She says a little joke about how the floors are creaky.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. how, you know, the walls are thin.
She's on to them, essentially.
Miranda goes back to the castle.
Yes.
And Carrie's in a bath. And Charlotte's somewhere else. Charlotte is on the phone with Harry. It's a part of the movie we don't need to see.
We don't need it. Yeah.
So maybe this is a Miranda Carey moment, because I always love the Miranda Carey moments.
Mm-hmm. They get real with each other.
They get real. Oh, they're the only two. Although Samantha can get real with Carey from time to time.
Yeah.
And she knocks on her door. Carey says, come in. Carey's in the bathtub. Miranda walks in. It's Carrie's bathtub is like this beautiful,
stunning clawfoot
tub,
and filled with bubbles, and just like lush towels everywhere. And Carrie's
expensive candles.
I never thought I would like Scotland, but yeah. Here I am. Like, I love Scotland.
Who knew?
Like, yeah.
A pun about Scottish people and mm-hmm. being there.
Yeah.
And
I think this is the moment where we have Miranda telling Carrie about like what it is she's feeling and going through. And then Carrie is the one that makes it okay. Like, Carrie is like, you've got to go to her. Like,
and I wonder if there's like, it's both funny because she's had this very sort of adolescent makeout, mm-hmm. but it's also quite poignant because she's starting to realize that maybe there's a side of herself that she just hasn't paid attention to yet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's coming to her very late in life. So there's like an emotionality that's sort of intertwined with like this child, like this school child, like glee that's just happened. She doesn't want to indulge because she has a husband at home and she doesn't know what's going on and she doesn't know what this trip is. And she feels like Samantha sort of trapped her in this whirlwind of like sexuality and like indulgence, which mm-hmm. is exactly what she's wanted them to do.
Yeah.
And Carrie is like, I think you have to pursue this.
Yeah.
And maybe not now. Maybe it's when you get home. Or, because I think that when they, whatever becomes of them should happen
later.
Mm-hmm. I want this chapter to be left open-ended.
You want there to be like the tension to remain in the will there, won't they?
Yeah. And I don't think they can go too far because, again, I like to know that we're not having our girls like, Samantha doesn't want these people to go on this trip and like do all these terrible things that'll unravel their lives.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to be like an awakening. And I wonder if Carrie can tell Miranda in this moment that like she's really inspired her, because for a long time throughout this whole trip, Carrie's been thinking about what Big said and always sort of brushing it off as something she would never think of considering. But watching Miranda open herself up to these feelings has really inspired her to the potential of like, who knows what's out there for me?
Yeah.
In this like strange sexually awakened like journey that they're on.
Exactly. And it's like, and it leads up to this grand sense of adventure that then we get the cap on it, like with the next day, like mm-hmm. our the Sex and the City 3 moment that's like the girls walking in the desert moment is Charlotte, Carrie, and Miranda and Lizzie all galloping on horses together in
love.
The Scottish countryside.
Love.
It's their last day there.
Ooh, and we get a nice callback to the season finale of, I think it was 3, with the horse outside the plaza.
Mm-hmm.
Carrie's always had like a horse.
She loves a horse.
Loves a horse situation.
Some girls need to run free.
It's true.
Yeah.
And here they are.
They're fully running free. And they get to meet Lizzie, which I think is important.
Crucial.
And ties her in.
I can picture that. Like gray skies.
Yeah.
Horses, like saddled, beautiful Hermes saddles.
Yeah.
The girls are on the horses. They're galloping through the countryside.
Mm-hmm.
Cut to laughing with Lizzie.
Yeah.
Everything's great. Maybe Lizzie gets like an email from work, something to sort of cut the joy a little bit and like snap them back into the reality that like, oh, they're still coworkers.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's still some drama at play here.
Yeah.
And maybe Lizzie has to go. Maybe something happened at work. She's been so distracted by Miranda for the past 24 hours that she like hadn't paid attention to like a really important work.
Yeah. She has like a brief that she has to write or something. Uh-huh. Or she has to go into the big city of Scotland tomorrow.
Glasgow. Edinburgh. Yeah,
wherever it is.
Somewhere.
And like do some work for like a sister law firm.
Yeah.
And so she's like, I'm sorry to cut this short, but I had such a good time today. Mm-hmm.
So nice to meet you.
Yeah.
Maybe like puts her hand on Miranda's shoulder, leaves.
With a little squeeze.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Carrie knows what's at play. Charlotte does not.
Mm-mm.
Charlotte makes some sort of like, maybe it's me.
Yeah.
But it looks like Lizzie was into you.
Yeah.
Miranda and Carrie share like a laugh.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe Miranda says something like,
maybe
she is.
Yeah.
Maybe she is.
I like that.
You know, like mm-hmm. one of those sort of like, she's coming to terms with the fact that like, do I have more than sort of a brief sexual attraction to this person? Maybe my heart's being pulled.
Yeah.
I in like different it. Directions.
And I was also thinking that Charlotte could have a moment of feeling like left out and like she's out of the loop mm-hmm. on this thing. Like she's like, tell me what you know. And then they kind of tell her and she's like, then Carrie tells Charlotte what like, oh, but they've already been over all this.
Carrie and Charlotte?
Haven't they? Because they played the truth or dare and then they told each other all their
secrets. Oh, about Carrie's stuff.
Oh, about Carrie's
stuff. But not Miranda's okay. stuff. So Charlotte could feel left out
so over Charlotte's the Miranda like, stuff. You're both going to cheat on your husbands?
Mm-hmm.
And she has like a Charlotte moment of being like kind of a judgmental prude.
And then we have a great sort of rationale from Carrie and Miranda.
Mm-hmm.
I think Carrie, because Carrie's had this moment before where she's excused her behavior or sort of rationalized her marriage
yeah.
or her choice to not get married. She's always had like perspectives on things.
Yeah.
Some of them were a bit of a stretch,
mm-hmm.
but I think in this case she could say something to Charlotte, like, don't you realize at this point in your life that it's not always easy?
Yeah.
And that sometimes, you know, the storybook wedding that you've always wanted is more complicated than that. And isn't there a joy in that complication? And isn't there a thrill in the ripples of our lives? And Charlotte, realizing coming off of this whole journey with her daughter,
mm-hmm.
realizes that relationships come in all different iterations and that she looks at her relationship with her daughter in this and now has sort of a parallel
yeah.
that maybe her relationship with her husband is different than that of Carrie's or Miranda's, and that it's about perspective
mm-hmm.
and relationships, and that it's marriage is just one kind of relationship and they can all be complicated.
Yeah. And then the butler comes in.
Hot
butler. Hot, but like older.
Hot in like a gruff sort of Scottish way. A
yeah.
guy that like Samantha Jones would have just nailed,
mm-hmm.
you know, like mm-hmm. a gruff, thick, hairy Scottish dude who's like just in it to win it.
He's like one of the actors from Braveheart or
100%. Yeah. Or yeah, like a yes.
And he says like, lady, like this has trip is coming to an end. Mm-hmm. Like here's a nightcap for you mm-hmm. all. And he's like telling them about their transportation for the next mm-hmm. leg of their journey.
I'm wondering how that message comes. Part of me wants to say that it comes in their tea.
Yeah.
Like they drink their tea and like at the bottom of the glass is like something. Like
a diamond a diamond. Or
what do you get in Patagonia? God, this
like
is pathetic for me to be
like
admitting
that.
To. Or like, I don't know, some kind of message. Part of me was thinking it's like one of those lotus flowers that like bloom in the tea.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't think that's in any way Scottish.
That's not Scottish enough.
At all.
Not South American.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So, anyway.
I think we need a comic relief moment, too, where it's like they've made several jokes about like the hot butler and the butler's always wearing a kilt.
Mm-hmm.
And then Carrie's like, is it true that like they don't wear underwear under there? And then Charlotte's like, it's true. Like, because she saw like him bend over or something. Like
either that.
That
or like someone comes in from outside and a gust of wind blows his kilt up. And Carrie does that like high pitched scream that she did when she saw the mouse in her apartment.
Yeah.
The iconic Carrie scream. It's a high pitched.
It's so high.
Exclusively
like
Sarah Jessica Parker
yeah.
sort of shriek. Mm-hmm. And they all laugh and then look down and maybe turn to him and they're like, what is this? And he's like, haggis. And they're like, and that's our like funny.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to eat that. It's mm-hmm. like stomach lining or intestine or something.
They don't want to eat that.
My grandmother is not pleased with my lack of knowledge of the Scottish heritage from which I came.
Oh my God.
I'm Scottish.
Oh, this is humiliating.
I'm like
for
one
your whole
fourth
legacy.
Scottish.
Wow.
So
you have some research
I
to
have
do.
Some major research to do.
But you know what? If this movie gets greenlit, that'll make it right.
Oh God. Well, there'll be built in like cash to just go. Yeah. We'll have to do that whole tour mm-hmm. just to see for ourselves.
So the next day, the girls wake up
mm-hmm. to a carriage.
To a carriage, exactly. That takes them to
a helicopter.
A helicopter that then takes them to a
some
private
kind
jet.
Of, we have to showcase like all of the world's best runways, like
yeah.
all of the world's best private runways. So I picture it like happening on an island and the plane is like parked. They land on this like island in the middle of the sea and there's like a mm-hmm. runway there and Miranda sort of gets out of the helicopter and it's dramatic and the sea is swirling around them and she looks back at the mainland and has like a breath of like life.
Mm-hmm. She has like a scarf around
huge,
her.
Huge.
Her hair even looks just like.
Huge scarves. Like,
huge scarf.
Like
yeah.
editorial style, giant Grace Coddington scarves.
Yes. And her, like, she just looks like fresher.
And alive.
Yeah. For the first time
in
like,
a
the
while.
Whole movie. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they all board the plane. And Carrie's like, I could get used to this. Like, mm-hmm. something like that. And then. How does it get revealed that they're going to South America?
Well, I wonder if Carrie's... at this point, we haven't really done her narration.
Yeah.
I don't know if we need it. Maybe we do, maybe we don't. This is a very different film, mm-hmm. like, structurally speaking.
Yeah.
But ultimately, Carrie's, like, wondering, like, what does Samantha have in store for us next?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they get into the plane and, having not really eaten dinner because it was haggis,
yeah.
they get into the... onto the plane and it is like a beautiful spread of our Patagonian chef's
yeah.
like fare.
I love thinking about how expensive it would be to get that spread in Scotland on a private jet somehow.
Prepared. Warm, but fresh.
Warm, delicious.
Delicious.
All farmers market.
And like sumptuous. Like,
yeah.
like fruits and vegetables and meats and mm-hmm. things. And it's a completely different experience. And the girls, like, maybe one of them was complaining, like, I love Scotland, but there's nothing to eat here.
Mm-hmm.
No offense to anyone in Scotland. I'm sure the food's wonderful.
Yeah.
But they get on. I mean, it's also Sex and the City. So like,
yeah,
there's a level of like cultural blindness, I guess.
Totally.
They get onto the thing, like having not really eaten in Scotland. And it is just a sumptuous, emotional journey of like eating delicious food. And they're like, where did this come from? And no one's revealing.
Yeah.
Where it came from.
It's a mystery.
It's a mystery.
And then they turn, like, they're asking the flight attendants, and, like, mm-hmm. the flight attendants won't tell them. And, like, they have this feast, and then they, like, turn down the beds, and yeah. they're like...
I love the like, obligatory bed turn down.
The bed turn
we
down
need to know that
must.
There's beds available to them on every leg of this journey.
Yeah, like, private rooms
yeah, yeah,
in
yeah, yeah,
the
yeah.
jet. Yeah. yeah. And they're like... I think someone says, like... buckle, like you're gonna want to take a nap or get mm-hmm. your sleep because it's like a 16 or 17 hour
yeah.
flight. Like they set it up so that it's like a long
time.
Yeah.
They get out
and they're like, where could we possibly be going that's 17 hours mm-hmm. away? And then we just cut to them landing.
Cut to them
soaring over the Andes Mountains.
Oof.
Yeah. Stunning. Like,
landscapes
nature.
We get like beautiful nature shots
yeah
lakes
like beautiful sort of isolated lakes,
yeah,
and countryside and mountainscapes.
And they're all looking out the window and Carrie's like, I've never seen anything like it. Like, just like fully on the edge of her seat. They uh-huh. all like wake up in the morning to another sumptuous spread of breakfast and then see like the flight attendants are like, you're going to want to like watch mm-hmm. out for the scenery. It's like an epic view from mm-hmm. here. So then they see everything and then land. And that's when they find out they're in
Patagonia. Which is where my reference point get hazy and things start to get weird because I don't know anything about Patagonia other than that that one chef's table episode that I watched.
Yeah.
So we'll just go with
this
that.
Is fully just based on that there's chef's a canoe, table that
there's
I
an
watched.
Island.
Like,
it looks rustic.
Three years ago. Yeah.
100%. So hazy at best. So
does the chef meet them at the airport?
Maybe.
Or
maybe Samantha has hired him to be their personal guide.
Yeah.
For the next 2 days.
And maybe this is like where things take like a very rustic turn in the mm-hmm. sense that they're like expected to go on a hike.
Maybe this is it. They've been pampered.
Mm-hmm.
And Carrie's like, I wonder what could
She's
sort
like,
of
I can't wait for what luxury awaits.
Beautiful glamping we have in store for us. And like they will be glamping. But
yeah.
Carrie doesn't like the woods. She doesn't like camping. She doesn't like anything about this.
Mm-mm.
And this is where like Samantha intended to like strip away the like facades and really expose the girls to like life.
Yeah.
And like truth.
By sending them to like a destination close to the Arctic Circle.
Absolutely. With a chef that's like oozing in sex appeal
mm-hmm.
and like sensuality, who's leading them. I think he looks at Carrie and Carrie for the first time is like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
Maybe this is what it's all leading to.
Mm-hmm.
He puts them all in a canoe. It's a beautiful like warrior canoe. And we have this gorgeous shot of the girls and what's his name?
Did we give him a name?
Hold on. You think of a name. I'm going to look up Patagonia names because I want to be like
okay.
authentic
be,
here.
Yeah.
I don't want us to like.
I feel like the girls are in one canoe with the chef and then behind him are like four more canoes with all their luggage and everything that they'll need for their
yeah.
Patagonia.
I love a good sight gag.
Yeah.
Top 100 first names in Argentina.
Okay.
Boys. Franco, I'm going to give you five. You pick.
Okay.
Franco, Lucas, Matias, Joaquin, Santiago, Frederico.
I like Franco.
Franco? I mean, all of those names are great.
They're great. I just imagined all those guys and I was like, I'd fuck all of them.
Listen, we've seen them all on the show.
Yeah.
Let's go with Franco.
Okay. Franco.
A gruff, older, maybe Big's age,
yeah.
but like with sexual vivacity.
Mm-hmm. Who plays him in the movie?
I want to say like a Javier Bardem.
Yeah. It's someone like that.
Like a Javier Bardem type.
Yes.
I'm picturing it.
With okay. facial hair.
Facial hair. A like wild, untamed enthusiasm.
Mm-hmm.
They get out. And maybe they're like, what is this? And it's an island and it's his restaurant.
And he pays a lot of attention to each of the, he's charming the girls mm-hmm. individually mm-hmm. and just like, they can't, like, I think initially they're a little miffed at the fact that this is like so rustic and requires a lot of like foot traveling uh-huh. to get to, but he's such a character and so vivacious and so hot that they just are like whatever. And like
my mind went to like a really weird place that I'll bring up in a second where this movie could take a very intense turn.
Yeah. I'm not opposed to it.
I mean, listen,
I kind of was thinking that too. I was like, oh,
could this really is this movie just a sexual is it just a sexual journey? That would be very new. Well, it honors the show.
It honors the show and Samantha. Yeah. So
they get there.
There's
a beautiful fire going.
Yeah.
They're asking like where their accommodation is. He says, don't worry about it.
they're asking, what is this magical place? He's like, this is my restaurant. Mm-hmm. And they're like, restaurant, but there's no tables. And he was like, it's by appointment only. He's like Michelin star. And like
so many stars.
Maybe Charlotte's read about him.
Yeah.
And then it Charlotte all gets pieced together.
Yeah. And like, Carrie can make a joke about like the hardest table to get in the world or something like that. Like, and you thought getting into Baba was hard or something like that.
Yeah. Insert like hot New York restaurant.
Yeah.
And she's wondering like, well, where do they get changed? And he was like, it's not about that here.
I love it's not about that.
It's here. Not about that. It's about like being on the earth, and he gets them to like cull mushrooms and like go into the garden.
I think they forage.
Forage,
he
for
teaches
sure.
them how to forage.
Uh-huh.
And then maybe they need to like have some sort of a little bit of like a microdosing or like psychedelic journey.
Some kind of like cacao pod that has hallucinogenic properties.
Yeah.
That he made into a hot chocolate. And they all sort of drank it.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's before dinner, and they're all like, they've all sort of been sweaty because they've been foraging. And it's like, well, they can't go to dinner like this. And he was like, well, no, that's not how we're going to dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Encourages them all to strip their clothes and like wade into the waters for like a pre-dinner cleansing.
Yes.
So we get like the girls who've like, up until this point, and correct me if I'm wrong, have not been very open with each other in terms of their bodies.
And I think that he starts it by taking off
his clothes.
Like, he takes off his clothes, and then I think he has obviously assistants that like have lugged all their luggage here. So the assistants also do it. So it's like, okay.
Oh, yeah. No, it's a time on the island where people
this
get
is like
naked.
What happens? Yeah.
And they're looking around, and it feels like not a judgmental place. It feels very safe.
Mm-hmm.
The cacao, hot chocolate,
it's made
hallucinogens.
Everyone feel very loose.
Everyone's feeling loose.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Carrie turns to Miranda and is like, is this what life's all about? And they say yes.
And Miranda's
Charlotte,
like, uh-huh, and like rips her shirt off and goes
running
screaming
in,
into the
screaming
water.
Screaming in.
Yeah.
We see Charlotte like terrified.
Yeah.
I guess Carrie sort of slowly gets up and like, you know, we see like Laura Piana, like, mm-hmm. like cashmere drop to the ground. We see like
a really beautiful lingerie, like Stella McCartney lingerie set.
Fall to the ground.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, we get a silhouetted Carrie,
mm-hmm.
like dipping into the waters. She turns around to Charlotte, who's like sitting on the edge of the water, like still grappling with the reality that she's talked about with her two best friends and still sort of conflicted about the relationships of her own life and the complications of life and how maybe she's got it wrong the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Stands up, takes off her clothes, and confidently and surely and slowly walks toward the water.
Yeah.
Gets in. We have Carrie sort of turn toward Franco, who at this point is like maybe at the other end of the lagoon, like foraging a fish.
Yes. She looks over, and like I think all the girls are kind of like tripping, and they're like, uh-huh. Is this even real?
Yeah.
And they look over, and Franco's like, aha!
Yeah.
And like just grabs a fish out of the water, mm-hmm. and they're just like, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah, looking over, and maybe Carrie looks back to Miranda after having had that conversation with her about like, I don't know, do I do it? Do I not do it? Do I open my relationship? What do I do? But like this guy's glistening bod under the moonlight, catching a fish, it almost feels like she's laying it out for me on a silver platter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. On a Michelin star silver platter.
And then I think maybe Miranda is like, so what do you think? Like, open or close? And Carrie's like, oh, it's open. Like,
at this point, we're wide open.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cut to, tents have been erected.
Huge, cozy tents.
Beautiful tents, furs, candles, warm, glowy lights.
Yeah.
They're sitting on this big farm table.
All the girls, Carrie's hair has like dried into the most beautiful natural curls. Charlotte's is like a natural wave.
Going back to like season 1, 2, 3, mm-hmm. Carrie Bradshaw hair, like she is returned to her inner self, her
she's
essence.
She's the most
is
like
dazzling
original Carrie that she's
ever been.
Like her hair's like blonder all of a sudden.
She's in maybe a fur jacket, like a fur, like pelt that yeah. is reminiscent of her own fur coat.
Mm-hmm.
The girls are like sitting in like a combination of like Patagonia blankets and like prints,
capes and socks and boots. And
yeah. Birkenstocks and
yeah.
We get like a Rick Owens Birkenstock in there.
Love.
Throw it in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a feast. They're eating with their hands. The candle is like illuminating. There's wine splish splashing all across the table. There's like fish being eaten with people's hands. It's all very like human and sexual.
Yeah. And I think they're all telling stories. Like we get like stories of all their lives. And this is like a point where they can like be talking about some favorite fan moments mm-hmm. or like telling how they met. Like Franco's.
Give
like,
a piece of backstory.
Yeah. Franco's like pulling information mm-hmm. out of them. He's like, so how do you grow? Like, you're mm-hmm. so fun. Like, how do you know each other?
And then we get like a little tender moment about like the first day they all met or mm-hmm. like something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I feel like he invites them to the sweat lodge.
Yeah.
And it all feels very comfortable. And we watch like everyone sort of get up from the table, and I think he like eats with his assistants as well.
Mm-hmm.
And they walk into like this cedar, like architectural wonder.
Yeah.
Like curved it's cedar beautiful. Pod.
Wasn't there like that or curved something. Cedar yeah, pod yeah, yeah. in the chef's table?
yeah. yeah. Mm-hmm. So we've gotten like a fire on the inside. It's like condensation dripping down the walls
and like juniper and like fresh herbs grapes, being like thrown onto dates. The fire so it smells really
everyone's
good.
Like eating food and yeah. sweating and glistening
mm-hmm.
I'm
trying to go to this like experience
oh aspirational to
how
say
do I
least.
Get there yeah
and we sit down and I wonder if this is where we get a monologue maybe from Carrie saying, you know, it was in a moment where if I were to look at myself even a year ago, if I were to, you know, have like looked at where I'd end up, I wouldn't recognize myself. And it took Samantha to see us all as we really are.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if he's like Franco sort of turns to Carrie and like kisses her on the mouth.
Whoa.
And we get like a moment in there and the other girls are like in the tent as well. And maybe Charlotte turns to an assistant, like a young, handsome chef's assistant.
Yeah.
Who up until this point had been like diligently preparing food. And like she sees him in a light she's never seen him in before. And he turns to her and kisses her.
Yeah.
And then maybe like everyone just goes for it.
I love, yeah, just like a wild sweat lodge
orgy that feels like highly sensual.
There's like a woman, a female assistant too, that's like that Miranda is kind of like connecting with.
They kiss and maybe we get like a weird dream sequence moment because some of the hallucinogens are still on there where Miranda like leans in to kiss this like woman and pulls back and it's Elizabeth
mm-hmm.
like a vision
yeah and then she kind of and like she, blinks
yeah
but then it's like this other woman mm-hmm.
And
then
she goes back
in for
in.
More yeah
and what we get is like a very human experience that they've all gone through together
and it just pans up I think like we don't get graphic about it
no.
It just pans up to like the moon and mm-hmm. the beautiful stars
and like the smoke coming out of like this strange chimney in this pod
yes.
building
yes then the next morning I think they all
wake up I wonder if Carrie wakes up and he's beside her.
Yeah, I think so.
And the girls are nowhere to be found.
No, the girls are elsewhere. They're like in their tents or something.
And
I think Carrie and him like have like a good morning after conversation that's just like friendly but not like mm-hmm. overly romantic. Mm-hmm. Just like and not awkward at all. Just like mm-hmm. what a night and like.
This is what life's about.
Yeah, this is what life's about.
And I wonder if Carrie can make some sort of joke where it's like, do you do this with all your
mm-hmm.
patrons?
I was thinking that.
And he's like, sometimes.
Sometimes.
And it's a very sort of like open and honest experience.
Yeah.
And she's had an enlightened time. Mm-hmm. She feels
fresh and invigorated. And she had sex with this dude and she wasn't getting it at home. And it, and Big was okay with it. And it all the pieces for the first time in a long time, like her tectonic plates are like exactly where they should be. And she is vibing.
Mm-hmm. And she's like just luxuriating in like the fur. I feel like his bed's covered in fur.
We get like a classic Carrie moment where she like pulls this like wool blanket over her shoulders and like tiptoes out of his tent. And maybe she sees Charlotte and Miranda like sitting at breakfast.
Yeah. Carrie puts like boots on and then like the blanket. Mm-hmm. And then she's like kind of going.
That's her look for breakfast. That's her look
for breakfast. Yeah. And I think then we get the girls recapping over like what went down.
But when she comes out and sees the girls at breakfast, I feel like they look at each other and they burst out laughing.
Yeah.
We need to acknowledge that this has been like a breakthrough moment and it's joyous.
Mm-hmm.
Charlotte needs to admit and acknowledge and apologize for like
being judgy
and shamey about people's impulses and why people do the things that they do.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we get like a classic sort of Sex in the City moment where like the assistant comes out with her pancakes and like Charlotte looks up and blushes.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe the female, like her, like Miranda's like woman comes over with like a hot cup of coffee and like puts it down for Miranda and like touches her hair. And they've all had like an awakening.
Yeah. And they're all just like glowing.
Mm-hmm.
This is where like there's like a CGI element that comes in where we just like glow them up.
Yeah. Put on an Instagram glow filter and just blast it out.
Yeah.
And we get like the light trickling off of the water. We get the woods. We get like a delicious spread of breakfast, which I am very invested in.
Yeah.
It's like pancakes, French toast, like wild boar bacon.
This
we get
is the food
fruit.
Part where it's like the first one was like Wealth, luxury, diamonds, and like clothes, and then Scotland was like castles and like cozy, and this is food. Yeah,
this is like porny food stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they have this beautiful breakfast, and you know, maybe it's like it starts to rain or something. It's like a light rain, and Carrie looks around and is like enchanted by it.
Yeah.
And maybe she turns to the girls with like her eyes filled with tears and she's like, it's Samantha, she's all around us.
Yes.
That kind of moment.
Totally.
And they get it. They now understand what it's all for and like why she did this, and like maybe a Carrie voiceover kicks in and it's like, well, Miranda wasn't, you know, while we might never see Miranda again,
Samantha again
in the flesh, you know, like we all know that she will linger around us like the sweet smell of lavender or the, you know, beautiful diamonds of Hong Kong or the wool blankets of Scotland, that everywhere we go in our journey, she is there and, you know,
encouraging,
supporting and reminding us
that beauty is everywhere.
Everywhere.
Yeah. And so then I think, like, over this time, we see them, like, kind of packing up and, like, making the trek back across in the canoes.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's where we end. And then we come back up for, like, a little tag on at the end.
Okay,
and we're back in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And Carrie walks into her apartment. And Big asks her how the trip was. Or, no, let's... Because that's how I want to end it. Charlotte goes home and walks into Lily's bedroom and sits down on the bed. And maybe it's a montage to a song. We don't even see what's going on. And she hands her a ticket to Hong Kong.
Yeah.
And Miranda goes back and we see her having a conversation with Steve. And it feels healthy.
It's warm
and it's supportive healthy. And it's like, I'm feeling something and I think I might have to explore it.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it means. And Steve is saying like, I support you and if this is what you want to do. And then finally we land on Carrie.
So Miranda and Steve are like fully consciously uncoupling,
or at least acknowledging that like there's something she has to explore.
There's something else there. Yeah.
but they love each other and they'll always be in each other's lives. And maybe it's not the end. Maybe it's just
a new phase,
a new phase or a chapter in Miranda's life that involves more than one person. Love. Who knows?
Okay.
Then we end on Carrie and she walks in and it's her old familiar apartment who up until this point felt like a little stale and like a little quiet. And Big is like sitting there and she like runs up to him and like wraps her arms around him. And in this new light, knowing that he had given her that kind of freedom, she like sees Big in a different way.
In a
more loving way, in a more open way. And he's like, hey, baby, how was the trip?
Yeah.
And she just goes, it was fabulous.
I feel like I really emotionally, I needed this.
I never want this movie to end, and yet
me neither.
It was that you tell me a better ending.
That was good. That was good.
So,
wow, what a beautiful film!
I love the messaging of this movie.
I love it. I love it. I wish we all need a Samantha
to
in our lives.
We need a guardian angel like Samantha to like lead us sometimes down a path that we might not choose for ourselves.
Yeah. Do we need to have at the end of the credits, if you're a super diehard fan, at the end of the credits, we get one Kim Cattrall moment. Like she agrees in the terms of this movie. She agrees.
She gets shot
separately from everyone.
I wonder if she gets a picture and it's maybe... It's a picture sent to her phone. We see like again a BlackBerry.
Mm-hmm.
Open it up. Someone's on a beach, and it opens up, and it's a picture of Carrie, Samantha, Miranda, naked
Carrie,
in the water.
Charlotte, and Miranda.
Charlotte, Miranda, naked in the water in Patagonia, like in bliss.
Mm-hmm.
And then it pans up, and it's Samantha sitting on a lounge chair in the middle of the Cayman Islands, Richard's beside her, and she sort of smiles to herself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
I love that. That's great. Wow.
This has been special.
This has been special. Thank you so much for bringing this beautiful movie to life.
I mean, it was a joint effort. So thank you.
We needed this moment of just like a true blue Sex in the City tale.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we really nailed it.
I feel completely joyful.
I feel warm, fuzzy. I would like watch this movie
over and over.
And this makes up for the like Sex in the City 2. As polarizing as it was, I still love. But
this is what Sex in the City 2 should have been.
Who plays Lizzie?
Who plays Lizzie? Ooh. I'm thinking like going out, like what about like a Daria like Werbovy?
Wow. I love a model. Like a late in life model turned
like,
actress.
Because Daria is like the most, I don't even know if that's how you pronounce her last name, but whatever. Looked at her and thought like, she's so compelling and she's dropped out of the game a little bit to like live her life, which I think is so fresh and rad and cool. And I think she lives in Ireland or something.
She lives in Ireland. She like only comes out of retirement for a Celine
premium
ad
Celine, old Celine ads.
Yeah, old Celine only.
But like imagine like a weird...
I would love it if she played...
Casting choice.
Lizzie, and then in a random twist was like incredible,
and
it kickstarts her whole
career. She
has
a new
as an actress
life as a like, as a compelling actress in the vein of like a Tilda Swinton,
totally,
because she has like a beautifully striking face. She will do like incredible work in this movie, and I think we just like have shown aside, and I think maybe it's like, maybe Daria's like, modeling's not creatively fulfilling for me anymore. I love photography, but I just don't know that like acting's it.
And she finds herself and it starts this whole other thing. I love it.
Or I think that's the right choice.
I like that choice. My mind was going to like Cate Blanchett or something like that as well. Oh. But I like a more
I want someone that comes in from like outside, someone that we like.
Yeah, an unexpected.
Would never think.
Yeah.
To, like, if this was like a wildest dream situation, it would be like Michelle Obama or mm-hmm. something, in like a startling turn. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, as a Scottish.
As a Scottish. Lawyer, high-powered lawyer.
Perfect.
Anything is possible in this on this podcast.
I love it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. This was an absolute thrill.
It was a dream come true.
Literally, for both of us.
Plug yourself as if you need to.
I work on a show called Schitt's Creek. If you like it, great. If you don't, wonderful. I hope you enjoyed our movie.
Fight for justice to make this Sex and the
All
City
I want to do
happen.
Now, I have now like...
Like,
this
if you're
has
listening,
to happen.
This has to happen at Michael Patrick King, at SJP.
At Michael Patrick King, at Sarah Jessica.
At Cynthia.
At A24.
Yes, A24. At Annapurna.
At Annapurna.
Let's get Megan Ellison involved.
I say, someone run with it, please.
Yeah.
And now that it's on a podcast, like, we obviously have to be involved. So
yeah. So that's what goes without saying. Mm-hmm. But would you want it any other way? I think not. You clearly saw the vision.
Yeah.
All right. Well, until next time, that's it.
That's it.
I'm sad, but it's over.
I'm could not have ended better.
Yeah. All right. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.